We have the agenda before us. Let me ask the secretary of the committee to speak to the area of the apologies, having welcomed all of you. Wakunene.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to apologize for the Chairperson. She's on the way, she's running late, and has requested that Honorable Malasagan starts the meeting, that she's on the way. And then I received the standing apology of Honorable November, who is still in the sick leave. And I also received the apologies of the minister who is in the cabinet meeting and the apology of the deputy minister. So those are the apologies that I have. Thank you.
Honorable Kuma?
Yes, sir. Every meeting we have about our colleague November, maybe we just need some more detail, because I'm very concerned, you know, about her health, and you know, is it serious? What is the story? Because I really sincerely want to know about her condition. Thank you, Chair.
Although I will not be able to go to as much detail as, but indeed, she is very ill. But what is consoling is that she started her treatment in Northern Cape, and the hospital that referred her to a hospital here in Cape Town, and last week she was treated here in Cape Town, and that's when I thought I would see her, when I was asking for the whereabouts, because I wanted to take advantage of her being in Cape Town. Then she said she has been discharged back to Northern Cape, but what is good is that not back to hospital, but back home. So, in that sense, a positive graph. So as we get more information, we shall keep the committee informed. But my last statement is what should keep us hopeful, that she is discharged to home, which means it's recuperation at home now.
Just a follow-up, then King just send us maybe a home address if you want to just send us something.
Thank you. Secretary, will you do that? Even if not now, but we'll arrange that. Okay. The apologies submitted, do we accept them? We do. Do we second? A seconder? Thanks, Honorable Church. We are now at the item of a briefing by Small Enterprise Development Agency on the result of its program review. DG?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will hand over to the Chief Executive Officer of the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, say that the program review was commissioned for the department and the entities to establish the extent to which the programs are aligned to the mandate of the Department of Small Business Development, noting that both CEDA and CEFA were established before the establishment of the department. So we engaged with each other around the terms of reference, and during the course of the review there was a steering committee which considered drafts, etc. So what the chair, the CEO will present today is the entity has adopted with the support or concurrence of the department. It has also been approved by the board of the entity. So I hand over to the CEO, chair.
Mr. Makuba.
Good morning, honorable members, chairperson, the DG and the colleagues who are here today. I would like to share with you the presentation on the program review. Yeah, I will be sharing with you the program review. Just giving a preamble in terms of how this presentation will unfold. We have will give you like the introduction, but preamble the purpose of the review as the DG has indicated. Just show you the methodology that has been applied, as well as the findings and the conclusion and the recommendation, and the CIFA's response to the. To the recommendation that have been brought forward on following this exercise. The survey was conducted following an in-depth interview process that has been conducted by our service provider. This includes interaction with about 18 key informants, an in-depth interview with the CIFA executive management, the CIFA board members. They also interacted with National Treasury, CEDA, and IDC following the commission of this request by the Department of Small Business Development. This entails number of areas. One include online surveys, as well as the telephone interviews. They have contacted about 158 clients that have been approved by CIFA. They also include the four cooperatives on the federal side, 178 clients that have applied, but they were not successful in terms of the application. The cooperatives also that have not been approved, about three of them. The 11 distribution channels that we utilize for our distribution of the product and services to our clientele. One commercial bank also participated. As you are aware, we've got Kula Credit Guarantee. It's a subsidiary, 100% subsidiary of FIFA, which is responsible to indemnify commercial banks for the funding that they do to entrepreneurs out there. We also follow the desktop research that entails the analysis of all the documentation that they receive from our organization. They also look at the strategic plan of the department, the scheme that we have, the KCG scheme, our operations activities. They also do what we call the mystery calls, in other words, unknown calls to our branches, to FIFA branches. They also look at the FIDA branches. They also do call in terms of whether we interact with them. And then they also do look at other entities. I think I'm bringing this just to give this exercise that's taken place a level of objectivity, because it's been done independently from management, and also interacted with the end user. So this slide just really showed the breakdown of all that have been contacted, as I just highlighted earlier. So the result of this exercise appear to be largely skewed towards the SMEs, small, micro, and medium-sized enterprises. The reason being, since the establishment of the institution over three years ago, we have not had much traction in terms of our activities on cooperatives. So cooperatives, as you see, that have participated. So it's largely skewed on the SME side of the business. Just to really recap in terms of the terms of reference that the DG did highlighted, that this was really to review the product and services that we offer to SMEs and cooperatives to see if these are in line with the mandate bestowed on to CIFA by the Department of Small Business Development. So the activities around this terms of reference include the review of the products and services that are being offered by CIFA, as I said, to determine if they are aligned with the mandate of the department, also to ensure they are aligned, the offerings that we provide are effective and efficient, and as well as relevant, aligned to the mandate of the department. Also to look at the identification of the products and services, if there are any duplication of what we do, any other agency of the department, and also in terms of reference, include a recommendation on how the products and services could be more effective and efficient without duplicating this offered by other agencies under the SBD. And also finally to really recommend on how FIFA can improve its products and services offering to make a greater impact within its within mandate. In each and every survey, ordinarily there will be what we call the limitations, which also prevail in this case. I just want to highlight some of the limitations that we have and the challenges that when this exercise was unfolding. The database that was received was treated and synthesized was, as I said, concentrated largely on the SMEs than the cooperative part of our mandate. And then the results are skewed towards SMEs. While they have received the contact details that will be the service provider that assisted us in this exercise, while they received the contact details of commercial banks, some of them, only one bank has responded to the survey. And then some of the calls, they engage and interact with either those that have received the funding or those that have been client funding, some of the calls went unanswered despite the repeated attempts that have made. And some calls were to voicemail, and this is one of the things that normally cause a limitation in an exercise of this nature. And then some of them relate to the issue around people who have been contacted. They say they never applied, that FIFA, etc. Those might be those that have received funding, that their funding has been declined. And some of the so-called that were called indicated that they have preferred to respond to the online survey but never proceed to do so, among other things. Being commissioned by the department, they felt that let this exercise be done independently in view of the fact that the department small business is new and they would then be able to present the findings as we have done. The key consideration was around what we offer, that is slide number 12, where currently in terms of our mandate we provide access to finance and support to SMEs and cooperatives, and we participate in a number of sectors. We are in sectors that align with the IPEF and New Growth Path. Also participate in the services sector. We provide funding for those that are in retail, the tourism space, either franchising businesses. We also participate in small-scale manufacturing, including agro-processing. We are also in agriculture, largely in the area of cash crops from the agriculture point of view. And then we also in construction activities for those that might have got contracts from whatever sphere of government to build houses, to construct roads, we participate in that space. Small-scale mining, green industry, renewable energy, water, recycling, LED lights, we name them. Our target market is to ensure that our funding goes to businesses that are managed by women, by black people, by youth, people in rural communities, and people with disabilities. So as this review was conducted, it was underpinned by this main consideration. to ensure that we are delivering in terms of the mandate. Also look at the product that the institution is offering. This product entails providing finance. If you look on slide number 18, on the top right-hand side, we provide finance through our direct lending activities on various channels. We provide asset finance for those who want to buy acquire land and equipment, bridge loan facility, revolving loans, term loans. We also, through our partnership and bank, the institution that we have, the credit collateral guarantee, we also provide a guarantee facility. Also through our partners, the microfinance intermediaries, the cooperative financial institution, commercial banks, as I said, and other strategic partners, facilities, including revolving structured finance institution and term loans. For the clients that we have funded, those that have received funding to ensure that they pay back in terms of the funding that they have received from our institution. We also have a unit, the Post Investment Monitoring Department, that ensures it manages the portfolio. We also provide the institutional support. In certain instances where we have got investors, we sit in the board, there's a board representation in these companies. You should recall we have, over the years, we have inherited the shareholding of about 22% in a company called the Business Partners, following the historical SBDC, where in lieu of the properties that have been acquired at the time by Business Partners, it entitled CIPA's predecessor to acquire the shareholding. So we have a board representation in those, also a board representation in other partnerships that we have with the like of Anglo, Zimele, for instance, amongst others, and we also collaborate with other institutions. We also have the property portfolio as part of our product. So the distribution channel that the survey has looked at, we're looking at whether doing providing our product and services via strategic partnership, our main offices, the co-location, and the corporate financial institutions, among others, if that is in line with what is expected from the institution. Now I will touch now what then happened when we've given this background in terms of the exercise that has taken place. What were the findings? What were the conclusions and the recommendations? And thereafter I will then take through in terms of what is it for as an institution, our response to the findings that have been identified. The one relates, as I indicated, the review of the products and services offered by TIFA to determine whether or not they are aligned with the mandate bestowed onto CIPA by the Department of Small Business Development. These are, broadly speaking, slide number 17, the global findings on what the exercise is taking place. 65% of the clients that have been surveyed broadly, they say that the CIPA's products and services are aligned to its mandate. Also, 67% agree that there is an alignment of products and services with the mandate of the department. And just to satisfy those two, 87% of those that have agreed with regard to the SME alignment of CIPA products and services to mandate, and then the others, 92%, they say that the CIPA products and services are aligned to the Department of Small Business Development. This relates to those that whose facilities have been approved. But for those whose facilities have been declined, 40% agreed that CIPA products and services are aligned with its mandate. 86% disagreed and 24% were neutral. As well as regarding the mandate of the department's alignment, that if our data aligns the department mandate or not, 41% of those that have surveyed that have not received funding from our agency agree. 41% did not agree or disagree, and 18% disagreed. And then what CIPA should be doing forward in terms of this global findings is that CIPA should continue with products and services what people should do. That's the question that has been made to those that have responded to the exercise. 49% said CEFAC should continue with the product and services. And 42% said there's a need to do adjustments on the product and services offering. And 9% said this should completely be discontinued. With regard to cooperatives, which I indicated that because we do not have much greater portfolio with on cooperatives, those that have been surveyed, all four of them, they agree that CIFA's products and services are aligned to its mandate. And then they also agree that it's aligned with the services, with the mandate of the department. And just a breakdown of the sample composition there in terms of location. I mean, since they have only four, there's one of them, they were in the urban area, another one in the semi-urban area, two are in the rural areas. And demographics in terms of ownership, three are owned by black, and then people, one by a woman, and also happen to be a young person. And then sector, well, in the manufacturing sector, one service sector, and one agriculture. So the profile of cooperatives that participate in this review indeed of the markets says that CIFA does uphold its values, and the majority of them do agree in that respect. So the next slide talks about the cooperatives that whose funding have not been approved by CIFA. One cooperative agreed and two disagreed that CIFA services and products are aligned with its mandate. And the same applies to the alignment with the department's mandate. CIFA agreed, two out of three agreed that CIFA uphold its values, which is value of speed and agency in terms of pure assurance, the passion for development, integrity, transparency, innovation, and knowledge. As I indicated, we have got various distribution channels where we provide access points for small businesses and cooperatives. The response in this area in terms of the finding results, 91% agree that CIFA products and services align with its mandate in terms of distribution. And then while the other 91% also agree the products and services agree the mandate of the department insofar as distribution channels are concerned. And then the composition here, as you can see in the slide, it relates to the various provinces where we were present. You see the Limpopo, KZN, taking the lion's share, as well as the rural communities, 35% and 27% the clients that are based in these areas. So the distribution channels that participated in the review were located in 8 out of the 9 provinces in terms of the exercise that this review covered. I indicated that from bank's point of view, we interact with four major commercial banks. One bank has responded to the survey, and the bank that has responded to the survey disagreed that CIFA products and services are aligned to the CIFA mandate. However, it agreed that CIFA products and services align to that of the department. And this commercial bank has reported in this finding in terms of the exercise that has been done. But I think, if you see here, while this has agreed that CIFA products and services align, they also disagreed in terms of, align with the department, they disagreed in terms of the mandate to CIFA itself. And then I think what we're going to do going forward is to really look at this this area, to engage with other commercial banks going forward, to interact with them as part of our ordinary course of business, where we do on an annual basis a customer satisfaction survey, where we'll be able to really find out what are the fundamental reasons by the banks. And objective number 2 is where we were talking about the CIFA products and services are relevant, are effective and efficient to ensure the alignment with the department. You see on slide number 23, with regards to the issue of efficiency, this is one area in all the survey that has identified that there is a room, significant room for improvement. The overall results with regard to the response around efficiency, we receive lowest rating in the efficiency compared to the other component of effectiveness. Also, the reluctance of the respondents that to agree with the statement depicting efficiency, as well as the need, as I said, to improve. And I will unpack the what are the issues around the efficiency that the client that have been contacted in this exercise looked at, particularly on them, on the efficiency side. But if I go in terms of the relevance part, which is like number 24, the relevance is the extent to which the objectives of the intervention are consistent with the beneficiary's requirements and the country needs or global priorities. 91% agreed that the super products and the services are relevant what we are expected to do in terms of offering. 99% were indifferent. And the 73% agree that the super products address the requirements of the SMEs in terms of addressing the challenges that we face, while 27% are indifferent. And I already indicated what was coming from the commercial bank perspective. I wouldn't really reiterate much. That is like number 25, where with regards to the issue of this sole bank that we interacted with, agreeing that the insurance scheme that we have addresses the needs of the SMEs out there, and then with regard to promoting and developing the small businesses. Around effectiveness, remember I just dwell on the relevance. The next slide is on the effectiveness of the distribution channels, where 91% are agreeing to the products and services through the channel to achieve the short-term objectives, and 33% of those agree also in terms of job creation, sustainability, while the other percentage, 18, are different, and 9% disagree. That is on the question relating to the effectiveness. And then the next one, what is the bank's response, the bank that has been surveyed, what is it saying around the effectiveness of our distribution channels and the product that we offer, where the whole bank does agree that the KCG, collective guarantee, is a channel that is considered effective in terms of our collaboration with the banks. But then to break down in terms of the responses by SMEs and cooperatives on the issue around effectiveness. When you look at the clients whose facilities have been approved, slide number 28, those that have been approved, they say the change in their turnover and employees as a result of their interaction and their support they received from FIFA. 87% of SME indicated positively. They see a 15% positive change in their turnover, and in their 92% feel that no, they indicate positive change in terms of the employees after receiving funding from CIFA. And then the benefit derived from CIFA funding, 94% of SME indicate that overall the CIFA funding was beneficial to the business. And on the cooperative side, the cooperatives, those that have been participated in the survey, the benefits, they said the benefits from the CIFA funding, all of them, indicated the benefits from the funding that they received from the institution. Insofar as effectiveness is concerned, which is the next slide, finance providers such as commercial banks generally not regard most SMEs and focus as bankable and creditworthy. That is the survey that comes from the banks that have been interacted with. Small businesses face difficulties in meeting qualifying criteria, that's what they are saying. The CIFA having been established in 2012 is mandated to be the leading catalyst, that is, the refereting was area our role as an institution is all about. But I would really like to go to the area where there is a significant room for improvement, as I indicated earlier, where we do agree that we need to improve particularly our efficiency as to how we provide our products and services to SMEs and cooperatives. Where efficiency, this slide number 30, where efficiency is a measure of how economical resources or inputs, which are meaning funds, expertise, time, and so on, are converted to results. Looking at the distribution planning, 65% agree that CIFA products are delivered to SMEs and corporate through means that utilize resources, for example, you manage resources, financial time, etc. But 27% were indifferent and 18% disagreed. The Seoul Commercial Bank indicated indifference towards efficiency of the KCG offer. The next slide indicates the comparison of CIFA products with similar products in the market. Those that have facilities have been approved. The approved SMEs, 88% stated that CIFA products compare well, while 9% were indifferent and 3% indicated that CIFA compared poorly. Approved cooperatives, all cooperatives stated that CIFA products compare well. Those that have not been approved, 33% indicated that the CIFA products compared well, while 26% were indifferent, and 41% indicated that we are compared poorly. And not approved, 2 out of the cooperatives stated that the CIFA products compare well, 1 indicated poorly. I just want to share the snippets of some of the specifics when regard to the issue of efficiency, which is slide number 32. The highlight that has been come out of this finding, particularly on the downside, the adverse side, the least appreciated attributes of CIFA in its products and services. The issue around unrealistic requirements, they see that some of the requirements that we need from SMEs and cooperatives are onerous, and then the turnaround time, the issue around the red tape time-consuming documentation. They are of the view that the application process is stringent. They are interested where there's a lack of clarity and knowledge about business sectors, particularly on our officials that deal with the particular transactions. They say the clarity is not provided, and there's sometimes knowledge of client's business. In regard to the feedback, no proper feedback and no feedback at all, on particularly when applications have been declined. Poor turnaround time is the challenge that we've been facing over the years. They are of the view that the interest rates are high, so as the administrative administration fee. And then inadequate repayment period, they feel they can be given more. Largely, our facilities can be repaid over 5 years in most cases. Some feel that it should be longer than that. Insufficient funds are available to clients. The issue of profit-driven and not customer-driven. That is the perception, that's the view. I think as an institution, they see as a development finance, but they are also the view that it seems to be profit-driven and not customer-focused. And then the issue of red tape was highlighted as one of the adverse attributes around, particularly in the area of efficiency. The next objective 3 is I talk about the identification of CIFA products and services. That are with the align or the duplication with those that are offered by other agencies, this in particular CEDA, which is our sister agency. In this respect, the exercise that has been done was largely a desktop research, and research revealed that there is indeed a duplication in certain instances between CIFA and CEDA, particularly on the area of non-financial support. As I said at the beginning when I was highlighting our offerings, where we provide support, non-financial support clients that we have funded. And they say the view is that mentorship that CIFA is offering is the domain of CIDA, which is the post-loan business support where CIFA, among other things, for clients that we have funded, ensure that they will pay, to ensure that we monitor and identify early warning signal where we provide this post-loan business support. Which is what CIDA mandate is in terms of mentoring and business support. The other area is the institutional strengthening support, where we have got particularly if you look at the enterprises that have benefited from CIFA, where we have identified there are some challenges, particularly if they need to provide support, maybe it's either IT system where certain clients don't have the sufficient or adequate IT infrastructure, where we can be able to provide a non-refundable grant elsewhere for for them to be able to get the system. We also utilize other institutions to help in terms of non-financial support. Example I can put here is that, you know, we have a collaboration with the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. They are occupying space within our office in Bloemfontein, where we have identified that, you know, one of the biggest challenges faced by SMMEs and cooperatives relates to inability to generate financial information, inability to do tax computation, inability to generate management accounts, where we are saying this will be the grant in time, where the SICA will then be able to provide this support, and then clients need not have to pay for the services rendered by SICA, would then have to pay. But then again, that is a non-financial support space, which ordinarily, in terms of this survey, should be residing within CEDA. And looking particularly on the IT space, CEDA having the CEDA technology program. And then the survey indicates that, you know, there is somewhat duplication in this exercise that we do and the CEDA is doing. And other also relating to certain measures, CIFA providing information, advice and referrals. And the CEDA also does the same. That's what really, with regard to the objective three around the duplication of offering. That's where this survey really uncovered. Again, globally on the duplication finding, if I have to go in terms of granular, there are duplication of some of the services that are offered by CIFA and its services with those that are offered by CEDA. And those that have been surveyed, for 2%, some of them say they are not, it's unsure. Remember, I indicated largely this was largely a desktop research that was done by the service provider. But when they did the inquiries, 42% were unsure, 24% said no, 22% don't know what CEDA is doing, and then 12% said yes, there is a duplication in terms of the offering. The next objective is around now, after all this that has been found, what are the recommendations arising from this exercise? We've indicated the need to provide recommendations as to how products of CIFA can be more impactful, effective and efficient to offer to its target market that I highlighted at the beginning. The first recommendation relates to collaboration with CIFA. You find that this is fundamental. This is key. It is important that CIFA and CIDA should collaborate, should work more closely, more intertwined, and this will happen both at strategic and operational level, not only in one area of our business activities. Turnaround times for application courses needs to be improved. Many respondents indicated that the time for approval took much longer than expected. This reinforces the importance of improving the internal processing. There is also a need to increase the visibility of CEDA and its services. Accessible portion of respondents indicated complete unawareness of CEDA. It may therefore be in the mutual interest of CEDA and CEDA to jointly seek to improve their visibility, products and services that we offer to the public. Next slide, which is slide number 38. What also arises from this exercise was that our clientele feels that there is a need to continuously upskill of the CIFA staff. Most respondents indicated that upskilling of CIFA staff needs to be essential to ensure that employees continuously provide opportunities to learn more and keep abreast of development. And to me, I also align this with the area of customer centric and how do you interact with our clients, particularly in the market or in the sectors in which we participate. Regular skill audit, it will be equally important for CIFA to engage in regular skills audit to enable it to really enhance the skill shortages, to improve the skill shortages, so that we can be able to have the necessary capacities and capabilities to really render what we're expected to do in terms of our mandate to deliver to SMEs as well as to cooperatives. Deployment or retraining of legacy personnel. As you are aware, the CIFA is a measure of CULA and the SAMAF. And then when the measure took place, each and every employee come from those institutions have to move to CIFA, regardless of whether there have been meeting skills or not. We have to train them, we have to deploy them where they can be able to do better in terms of the activities. So this was one of the areas that have been identified through this exercise that we should, where applicable, we need to be able to ensure that the staff that we have understand the culture and the mandates of the new FIFA, as it were, with regard to the skill sets. Are they able to really have the necessary competencies to deliver in terms of what is expected? Legacy employees may find it difficult or unwilling to adjust the new environment, and there is a need to continuously retain and upskill them. And again, the objective number 5 on the recommendation of CIFA, how it can improve its product and service and offering so as to make the greatest impact. This one is broken down into products and process. I'll just start on the products. CIFA needs to periodically revamp its products. In other words, our products offerings should change with time. As and when we identify the new opportunities, the mandate of governments from time to time, we need to be able to review that our products and services align of what is expected. So in other words, there has to be a regular relook at what we're offering. If we're only offering, for example, a debt instrument, if the market entails that there is a need to provide a key instrument, we need to be able to be flexible in that respect. So the need to periodic review of our product is essential as the organization is maturing from time to time and then identifying opportunities. Our product and services also have to align with them, with the prevailing circumstances and situations. SMEs and the corporate profiling, it's important that CIFA should seek to really build and create profile of its target customers in terms of what products they source them. What are the products that we offer? In other words, here is that it must not be CIFA that dictates in terms of what clients want. It has to become from the bottom-up approach where the products that we offer must suit what's required by our customers. So by so doing, we need to be able to really build the profile of the customers, looking at the issue around risk associated with all that we offer in terms of our credit analysis tools. Are they stable enough? Example being that we cannot be a one-size-fits-all. CIFA might be indifferent for different customers. We need to be able to be adaptable to that. The use of commercial bank to distribute products to SMEs and corporates should be minimized. This is the view of the service provider in terms of this exercise that comes out of this exercise. Commercial banks are known to be unfriendly toward SMEs, so placing funds in this commercial bank sometimes may not be a good idea. SMEs are already intimidated with go-to banks. They feel more comfortable to come to development finance institutions such as CIFA and others, but they feel intimidated and unfriendly approach when they go to commercial banks. CIFA should be a one-stop solution provider. CIFA should not shy away from being a one-stop solution financial service provider out of looking at the non-financial support for CIFA-funded clients. Outsourcing is non-financial support to CIDA may not be altogether optimum. The CIDA is obviously not set up to service the CIFA clients, etc. So these are some of the points that have been raised, but I want to go to the response from what we believe from our respective indicator, both aspects on the product. With regard to the policies, which is the next slide, slide number 41, success measuring metrics should seek to measure sustainability. It's very, very crucial that when we lend money to SMEs and cooperatives, there has to be an element of sustainability. We need to be able to build success indicators of the CIFA loan within our CIFA loan granting process. This entails the number of approvals, the amount, not only the number of approvals or the amount disbursed. However, efforts should be made to attain metrics to the point of sustainability itself. In other words, our fundamental objective is at least in terms of job creation, poverty alleviation and addressing the issue of inequality. But those clients that are also receiving funding from our institution has to be able to be sustainable. We need to be able to create measures to see how sustainable, for example, the issue of looking at their turnovers, just in terms of how the growth of their business, etc., and other financial indicators at the client level. So there's a need to really look at that more intently. Money to be demanded from distribution channels, the microfinance intermediaries, the retail financial intermediaries and commercial banks that serve the distribution channel for FIFA, ought to be doing more to transfer skills to FIFA personnel. So I think that what interests me here is that they will need to be able to build these skills internally so that a reliance will not be made largely on some of our partners to use them as distribution to our end users or to our customers. There should be a requirement for their continued involvement in the distribution of FIFA products. FIFA should investigate the possibility of using, for example, the post bank to distribution this come from this exercise. FIFA may want to take advantage of the vast footprint of the post office. This is a recommendation. Another recommendation after process is the people. On the people's side, things are aligned with what came out as I was going through the specific findings. Slide number 42 talks about the need to create a center of excellence. In other words, we should not be just generalists in our, we don't have just to have generalists, particularly our investment officers or deal makers. We have to have a center of excellence. People have to be trained so that they can be excellent in certain areas. They can be champions. They can be industrial leaders in certain part of our business. FIFA should seek to really create this center of excellence within our service delivery. For example, when offering, if we are providing funding to the informal sectors, funding to cooperatives, to the our small and medium enterprises, we need to have people that are excellent in those areas. But also, if we have to go deeper into agriculture value chain, we need to have specific trained capabilities within our means to be able to really understand the business, to understand various sectors and the industry, so that we can be able to offer our activities better. Because for us to really be able to do what all we need to do, this is surrounded, is centered around the people, which is the main resources that we have. So there is really a need to create those centers of excellence. Client service skills and knowledge of FIFA front office staff need to be improved. Our clients, as they interact with us in all our access points, they must feel that they are engaging with a development finance institution that has got a heart, that can be able to listen to them, because our market is not the same as the commercial banks. We are dealing with clients that need really require support from a government agency such as FIFA. The findings show that most particular those that have not been approved voice a lot of concerns the way the applications were handled. The ministry call that has been done in this exercise review also that CIPA's operation needs some improvement. So that's one of the issues that have been identified. The CIPA should also pay special attention to skills and knowledge of its entire human capital value chain within our organization. Human capital, as indicated, is really the cornerstone, the foundation, the common denominator that determines the success and failure of any institution. And FIFA will do well to really pay attention in the development of our human capital. So what is it that FIFA is saying about these recommendations? We try to outline from page 44 in terms of the key items that have been identified by the service provider in this exercise. One another is broken down, as you see, from product, process, as well as people, in terms of the highlights that one needs to provide now. One finding says there's a need for product review and revamp of products. What is it that FIFA is doing currently, and what is FIFA is intending to do going forward? We currently conduct a customer satisfaction survey on an annual basis to have a feel as to what our customers are viewing our product offering. This is conducted on an annual basis. We need also to say why we do customer service surveys on an annual basis. Going forward, the products that we offer should be conducted at least annually, which is every 3 years. It can also be, if required, it can be done earlier. But we just say we should not just say the organization has been doing the same thing over and over again. As a minimum, at least every 3 years, we should be able to conduct the review. But it can be done if required much, much earlier. On the SME and cooperative profiling, currently we have a limited profiling of our target market, where we indicate how many jobs get created, how many youth are supported, women supported, etc. We believe that going forward we also need to build our research capabilities, particularly specific focus on the as we deal with our clients. If we have got activities in terms of offering around, for example, agro-processing, the hydroponics, the greenhouses, etc. Do we have the necessary research capabilities? Do we have the necessary research internally where we can be able to, when we approach the clients in that area, we can be able to, within a reasonable time, assess the application. So we believe that we need to enhance our capabilities in partnership with universities, for example, and those that have got experience and expertise in this area to profile the targeted SMEs and cooperatives for effective risk assessments and continuous improvement. The use of commercial banks to distribute products to SMEs and cooperatives should be minimized. This is what the service provider with the survey come out with. We currently, as I said, they have a credit guarantee offering through the collateral guarantee scheme, which is targeting small businesses who lack collateral, for example, that they can go to any bank and get funding through their defaults into the banks. We can be able to indemnify the banks. We are also extending this offering through a number of areas, by engaging, for example, with the fruit produce market. In case now we are looking at the fruit produce market of Swane, the Durban and Mangaung, wherein clients can go and be able to buy goods and services, all what products that they need, where this largely municipal owned fruit produce market can be able to provide them a line of credit, which can range from 80 days to 60 days, and then they don't have to be, they might not necessarily have the collateral, but only should they default, will then be able to have identify the food produce market. So we are taking this offering outside the banking platform, not only bank, but other non-financial institutions, where we believe that no small businesses can be able to benefit. So we are working with financial institutions also to come up with any other innovative solution in this space. As I said, going forward, and we already started this, the KDG initiative with commercial banks will also be expanded. We are looking at a lot of interest now from banks to really utilize this. And we believe that by crowding out commercial banks, it's because they have got footprint, they have got network, it will really help us to provide funding, and we just guarantee them, and then should there be a default. This can range between indemnity of between 60 and 90% credit indemnity onto the bank, and they can take risk the risk of about 20 to 10%. So this we believe is a more risk sharing approach that can be, we need to be able to explore with a commercial bank. CIFA should be a non-stop solution provider. CIDA and CIFA, currently we are creating strategic collocation points. We have entered into various collaboration engagements so that where CIDA is, people can go in and get CIFA offering. Vis-a-vis on the CIFA side, if CIDA does not have network, we can be able to look at CIFA. And if CIDA does not have a branch, or they can be able to also get assistance for CIFA. But CIDA having been around for a longer period of time, it has got more networks, it has got more offering, and we believe we can be able to leverage on our agency relationship. We have entered into, in addition with just more interaction, we have got a memorandum of understanding with one another in this area, how we can be able to really unpack and unlock opportunities for SMEs and cooperatives. The other point that we are looking at is other collaboration with other state-owned entities, IDC, the local business chambers, district chambers, the LED offices. We see this as a crucial opportunity for us to really be able to expand our reach to our client, to our clientele. So there's a huge opportunity already, but a small scale, but we believe that this is really a fundamental opportunity for us to really explore. We are also looking at the need to also enhance our systems between our institutions so that the referrals become seamless, become easier when clients get referred from SIVA to SIDA, it becomes a seamless process. And then the integration of our non-financial support between what we do currently on the clients that have been funded by SIFA, what support we can do. One example that we have already agreed with SIFA is that they provide mentorship, and then they are looking for clients that require mentorship. And we are saying we have quite a number of clients that need the hand-holding, that need support. On the clients that funded, let SIDA be the one to be able to provide this mentorship programs on the client that we have funded, and then we need to really enhance this relationship. With regard to the processes, the success measuring metrics should seek to measure sustainability. This is like 45, and then I did mention that we do have the dedicated cost investment monitoring, which is very, very crucial for us because this department, it looks at each individual loan that has been provided, what are the challenges that they face from time to time, identify early warning signals for us to do intervention if needed much quicker, and then if clients require additional facility, can be able to pick up more effectively. So it's not only just to police as well that clients get the money, pay back, but it might require additional funding. We might identify that, you know, by visiting, by engaging, by going into client premises, this client requires certain support, and then we then look at how can we be able to really assist the clients for them to be able to be sustainable going forward. The impact study to assess client business growth and contribution to the economy is one of the things that we are considering going forward. It's also aligned with our interaction going deeper, as I said, on the revenue line, except what the businesses of the at the client level, to see what are the challenges, what are the issues that they face. More needs to be demanded from distribution channels. We have got what we call a structured funding solution. The better way to make it is what we call the hybrid type of funding, where the wholesale unit within SIFA identify opportunities. We have got technical competency in this area where they can structure a project so that it can become a project where they interact with partners, but where we do the actual funding, it takes the element of what we call the direct lending element within the organization, but as we deal with the partners. This example in case is that we have identified the needs in the space of aluminium beneficiation, where we feel that there is a need to really structure the transaction with the likes of the big players in this space, the Hulamin, BFE, Billiton, identify the opportunities for small business that needs to be funded, who supply to this big institution. But how can we structure this to ensure that there is a relationship between SIFA, the clients themselves, as well as those big partners, the private sector? But so do we are cutting the private sector. But when individual loan is made, this loan sits within the SIFA space. The cooperative value chain, either primary cooperatives, secondary cooperatives, we build in structures of the value chain in collaboration with various partners, and then again the client is within the SIFA loan book. By so doing, we are trying to build something that can be able to, in the long run, be able to really be our answer to the question of engaging and interacting with the intermediaries. What is it that we are doing internally for us to be able to still continue to have a partnership, but at the same time, the clients are the SIFA clients that fit within our book. So that's something that we have been working on. We have got a representation of our senior managers in various boards and committees in our partnerships. As they look at this application, they also have to ensure that they align with the mandate of SIFA. Structure annual sector from the going forward, structured annual sector knowledge, again, this is aligned with what I said earlier, and then we also identify the need for us to develop a lessons learned portal. What have we learned as an institution as and when we interact and we meet with various clients? SIFA should investigate the possibility of using Postbank. We said that we'll look at this initiative, we'll explore it, not only with Postbank, but with others. As I said earlier, we have identified as a low-hanging fruit in terms of our impact and scaling on the LEDs in the district municipalities as well as within the local municipalities. So as that is low-hanging fruit that we can be able to do in no time. We have engaged with others that have already offered us for no consideration that we can be able to open our offices within the space as we interact. From the people side, which is basically the last slide in terms of our response in this recommendation, the client service skills and knowledge of CIFA front office staff need to be improved. We agree. CIFA is implementing what we call the customer relationship management project, which aims to really enhance our client interface and relationship. The client relationship system implementation is underway. This is also supported by what we have developed as part of the corporate plan, the balance scorecard. We'll be able to measure, including in the balance scorecard, is customer satisfaction. So in other words, as we do all our activities, from a balance scorecard point of view, what are customers saying about us? It has to be good so that it helps us from time to time to make sure that we stay special focus on this area. And then our CRM will be, there will be ongoing improvements in this place. We should also stay, the finding table should also pay special attention to the skills and knowledge of human capital in our entire value chain. We have embarked on an initiative already to really enhance skills internally. I mean, people are undergoing a number of training. We take them to due diligence training. We take them to training on how to deal with customers from time to time. We take them into various benchmarking exercises with other players that have been in this space for much longer time in terms of offering to small businesses and cooperatives. So that area, we really believe that this is a continuous process, particularly the due diligence process, the basic assessment. When you're assessing the application, what are the things to look at? How can we be able to improve customers and at the same time give feedback, negotiation skills, cooperative development skills for us is very crucial. As I said, you will see in this survey, there's not much activities that we have done around cooperatives, but we need to be able to build skills internally in this area to hire the people who have the necessary competencies in the area of cooperatives and at the same time to enhance skills of our internal staff. So the ongoing skills and competence enhancement will take place as we move forward. And this again, I emphasize the area to build industry sector and product competency, which we believe is crucial for us to be able to really deliver on our mandate. This also goes in line with the need for creation of center of excellence. There are initiatives that are underway in terms of performance organization. Each and every employee has to sign performance agreement. Where we are saying issue of customer relationship, customer service, turnaround times are embedded within the performance contract on an annual basis. The CRM that I spoke about, which is already initiated, also go a long way in this area, internal service development. We continuously really process and enhance our skills in the lending space, which is the core of our business. And then we also want to use the technology where it's appropriate. And we believe that it will help us particularly to look at the data, the information that is required for reporting purposes to various stakeholders, including the portfolio committee, the department, and others from time to time. And then this also entails the quicker interaction with clients. If clients apply for funding, they should be able to know by SMS what is the status of the application. Where is the application is, they can be able to really, by SMS, have a possibility to know what the amount outstanding, the installment, etc. So we believe that we need to be able to move into that because as we're going to grow as an institution, technology and automation is going to become crucial. Everybody has got cell phones. They can be able to really know what's happening on their portfolio of clients and by reminders. But we do not have the advantage of a banking platform like a bank that can be able to know at real time what is happening on a client account. So, and the client can be able to know when they interact with bank. But for us, we feel that no, we need to be able to really enhance our systems from automation point of view, and then the customer service and the needs to provide to increase our access points. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Let us have a short break of 15 minutes and then come back. the question. Okay. Before we proceed with our meeting, I would also want to inform members of the committee that the deputy minister lost his sister, and the deputy minister lost his sister. And as we usually do, I would request that we observe a moment of silence, and so that we can also have the family of the deputy minister in our prayer if we continue. So, can you stand up? May her soul rest in peace. Thank you. I will now open an opportunity for members to ask questions of clarity and make comments. And I would also want to thank the CEO of FIFA for a good presentation here. Thank you very much. Honorable Fuka, followed by Honorable Misho, Honorable Laoche, Honorable Chapa, in that order, Honorable Chan, Honorable Mabasa, and Honorable Kosa. The last one will be Honorable Beskwa, in that order.
Thank you, Che. My first question, I got about four or five questions, but my first question, or before I start asking the questions or making comments, I just want to thank the CEO of FIFA for the presentation. Very informative. Thank you. Thank you for your trouble. So my first question is about, I need some clarity, Madam Chair, and I want to ask the CEO, what is FIFA's core business? If they can just explain to us again. And then I also need to get clarity on why is the cooperative market not representative in the in the, you know, services and service delivery? Why don't they deliver service to the cooperative market? If they can just explain that. And then also, Madam Chair, I'd like to know, when they did the survey, did they explain the mandate of the Small Business Development Department or the other department, the ministry, to the interview group? Because it seems like nobody understands our mandate. On slide 9, I think, on slide 9, it says the first bullet, it says, review the products and services offered by the CIFA to determine whether they are aligned to the mandate of the Small Business Department. So I'm just worried. I don't think everybody in South Africa knows the mandate. It's only a small group that knows the mandate of Small Business Development. So if you ask them, are you aligned to the mandate of Small Business Development Department, they will always say yes or no. You know, of course, they don't understand what's the mandate. And then also, if the post office can get their act together, and it seems like they're in the right direction, I think it's not a bad idea for CIFA to use the post office as the distribution channel. And if, because we're talking about the one-stop shop here, so if that is true, then I want to ask if it's not time, if the time is not ripe now to combine SIDA and SIVA as one entity with all the other institutions or whatever represent and offer a one-stop shop to SMEs and cooperatives. And then my last question, Madam Chair, the CRM program, I want to know if it's run by consultants. And if it's run by a consultant, could I just know more or less what's the cost of this program? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure all members will agree that the presentation was very useful and informative, and we must thank the CEO for that. And I want to start with questions regarding the response to recommendations. One of the recommendations was that post banks should be used, and also discouragement of using commercial banks because they claim that they are unfriendly. I don't understand what all that means, but that's the claim, that they are unfriendly to SMEs. Now, what was the reason that the postback was not considered from the beginning? Is it because of their inefficiency? Because we know that they have challenges. Is it because of inefficiency, or what was the reason? And linked that, their response to this recommendation of using postbanks is that rather than reducing or minimizing the use of commercial banks, according to the recommendation, they are talking about expanding the use of commercial banks. Can I get an understanding what's the motivation behind that? Or they don't agree with this recommendation. And when it comes to efficiency and effectiveness, there are a number of things that have been suggested or pointed out. Among them, poor turnaround time. I want to know how they compare when you look at the attributes that are listed here. How do they compare with commercial banks when it comes to turnaround time? Because theirs is poor. And how do they compare regarding the interest rates? Because a government agency obviously is expected not to be as high with interest rates as commercial bank for the benefit of the people in need. And then the administration fees is one of the things that are listed here. So how long does it take for an application to go in and to be approved or rejected? How long is the process? Now, they have been rated very low when it comes to efficiency. Do they know exactly what causes that? Is it because of unskilled staff? Or what are the reasons for their inefficiencies? And what are they doing about that? I know that we were told that one of the recommendations was they must skill their staff. And under key considerations, when they talk about the client sectors and target market, slide 12. The target market starts with women, black people, and then youth. I would want to know whether these women and youth are not necessarily black. Are they all inclusive? If not, why are black people mentioned specifically? Okay, if women are usually women from all race groups, youth from all race groups, yes or no. And if it is exclusive, we want to know the reason why that black people was inserted there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Lawson.
Thanks, Chairperson, and the DG. And thanks to the CEO for this well arranged and prepared report. I have only some clarity question, page 5 about the achieved sample size. You said the approved SNE is 1,032 and not approved SNE is 1,126. So I wanted to know, in terms of the radical economic transformation, when you see the number of not approved SMEs are higher than the approved one, or maybe you can clarify us what step are you going to use to try to help those unapproved SMEs so that the number of unapproved must be maybe lower than the approved one. The next area to second question is on page 12. Like the Honorable Reverend here already talked about the target market. I won't repeat the question, but however, I will go to the targeted people in the rural communities and people with disabilities. So you mentioned very well about the target market in the rural areas, but you don't have offices there in the rural vicinity there. Most of your offices are in town. So can you tell us how you are going to achieve the majority of these people in the rural area while your office are based in town? While the people in the rural area, they are at the bundles, they can't even maybe have money to travel to go to the cities. Thank you, Jefferson.
Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me echo the opinion of my colleagues to appreciate the presentation. It does appear that the CEO has done his homework, or if he knows what he's doing, what he's talking about. Now, a few questions. One is on this part of, I think it's on slide 29. This one of the banks, this pin of the banks, has to establish if there's any possibility that this opinion and assessment of the bank is not subjective. That is in the sense that maybe that bank feels threatened or their grounds being interfered with and therefore have this opinion. Now on slide 30, that 35% which is positive, to me it seems too little. So that to me it should be important to worry about the other 45%. So that because you after you need 100, you need 100%. On slide 32, again there are those issues which are the least appreciated attributes. It seems also that they form the core business, and therefore there should be a worry about them and the way that they ought to be they need to be addressed. I think my mind is a combination of comments and questions. You also, in slide 37 again, there's this mention of the apparent overlapping of work between CEDA and CIFA. Here, this gives you two considerations that you might be thinking that it is better for the two to be consolidated, or you feel that the better is for us to do the best on our side and be excellent. And I suspect that the latter can be the best, but also it would be interesting for us to know how this can be affected. Another question would be now on whether is there any sign of fronting. In this case, I mean, in a situation where a big business decides to make a small business as if it's something small and yet it's actually a front of a big one. Substances can be, if there was any trace of that. And the last, no, not the last one. You talked of the research. I wonder if you have considered making use of the Agricultural Research Council, which I think would be very useful when you work on the cooperatives, especially with agriculture. It would be very, very, very useful. And also, have you considered linking your products or your activities, linking production and marketing? Because I think this also will assist you to get out of this myth that you're not considering much about cooperatives. Whereas, in my opinion, it is possible that a lot of cooperatives would be in marketing and other cooperatives in agricultural production. But if you consider that the linkage between the two, you will find that you will get out of this misconception that there is little to do about cooperatives. Because I do have the opinion that a lot of these small business also can be cooperatives. Now, and also the last one now, I haven't heard any mention of a progression from SMEs that they will at some stage stop being SMEs, they will become business of the in the true mainstream economy. Not unless maybe we agree that once we start as a small business, it's small business forever for 20 years or so. That is the last one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO, for the presentation. I wasn't quite sure whether you told us who did the survey, whether it was an internal survey, whether it was a service provider, because the trouble with surveys is that they tend to be a bit sort of self-fulfilling if they're not 100% objective. And yet, any survey, the quality of a survey rests on the relevance of the questions asked and the quality of the questions asked. If you don't ask the right questions, you're not going to get the right answers, at least answers that are going to help you become a more effective organization. So I'd like to know who did the survey, please, and if it was an external organization, how much did it cost? This then goes to the issue of the survey was effectively, you say it was focused on your clients, but actually it was focused on CIFA, because it was really looking at product review project. It's looking at your product. Where I'd like to suggest that if the survey had been done the other way around, focused on the customers, you'd have been asking a whole lot of different questions. And those questions would relate to what do you need to the customer. Forget about CIFA. Okay, CIFA offers finance. But how do we best service your needs? Do we need to offer finance and support? Do we need to offer finance support, training, and mentorship? Do we need to have more relationships with your customers themselves so we can look at how we can support the supply chain? You know? And I think maybe the reason you didn't do that is because you've adopted a silo mentality, which is to say, we are a finance provider. That's it. Although that actually goes to Honorable Kruger's question, which is what is the core business of CIFA? Because I saw a very interesting, rather puzzling slide, which says that grants are non-financial aid. Now, how can that be? A grant is money. Money is finance, as far as I'm concerned. You're just dishing it up, you know. Which again comes back to the question of, is being friendly meaning, oh, you can take the money, doesn't matter if you don't pay it back. Is being unfriendly, which is what you say banks are, saying, oh yeah, the loan needs to be paid, that's a lot of chance. You know, so what it actually is the business about? And it goes back to the issue of your collections. No mention was made in the survey of the fact that 58% of your direct loans go bad. You know? I wonder what your shareholders think about that. Interesting point also goes to the survey population database of only 1,000 approved SMEs. But my recollection is that last year you lent to over 15,000 SMEs, including through micro letters. So please explain that discrepancy. love to know how you intend or how you do measure efficiency. If you believe that efficiency is an important performance indicator, which I agree, how do you measure efficiency? What standards or what metrics have you set up to measure efficiency, and how do you believe these metrics need to be tightened up to improve your efficiency? I'd be interested to know how many of your rejected applicants got financed elsewhere. Now, you probably did not ask that question, but it would be interesting to know, you know, are these poor applicants that you rejected sort of floating around somewhere, being, you know, nobody's going to come and help? Which goes, again, back to the questions that you ask. Questions are focused on CIFA too much, not enough on the clients. I'm very interested in the comments about the banks. The recommendation from the survey was that you need to minimize your relationships with banks as distribution partners, but then on the same slide it says you need to improve your partnerships with banks. Now, what's it going to be? Either you want to work with them or you don't. Is the answer to that question that the banks would be better distribution partners if they were given guarantees? And if you only have conversation with one bank, how can that be regarded as being a comprehensive survey? That, to me, to my mind, is just anecdotal. You need to have proper conversation with the banks. So the fact that this comes to the point that I made months ago when we had that two-day workshop on DFIs, is that the banks and the DFIs are not in the same room together having a conversation. We're wasting our time. As far as the post office is concerned, in theory, not a bad idea, because it has such a huge footprint. The post office and the post bank are in dire straits. They are losing over 100 million rand a month. Their management is totally ineffective. If you think you've got a skills problem, the post office has got a skills problem. How on earth are you going to see the post office as being remotely helpful to that small business in the sticks who needs access to financial support? In my mind, it requires an enormous leap of faith to think that the post office is actually practically going to be a help. And I suggest that a conversation with Mark Barnes, the new CEO of the post office, as soon as possible would be a step in the right direction, to see whether he agrees with your thoughts on this. Now, last night I happened to receive an email from Mr. Trevor Sumer, who will be known to all of us in this room as the Executive Chairman of Coa Holdings. And the letter contained a letter indeed from the lady sitting opposite me, that's Lisa, I believe, which was a letter of rejection to the three cooperatives that had applied for finance through Coa Holdings, 5 million rand each. I think it might have been 4 million rand each. And the letter from CIFA actually put some quite, in my view, compelling reasons why the finance application had not been approved. And I'm waiting to hear from Mr. Sumer whether the comments made in that letter were actually correct. But be that as it may, what it seems to show to me, is that had CIFA regarded itself truly as a developmental finance organization, it would have got out this whole thing rather differently. It would have said to Coa Holdings, okay, we are in the business of supporting cooperatives and businesses in their goals to grow and finance and so on. How can we together make this thing work? How do we walk down this path together of turning this project into a winning project? And it seems to me that you are applying the same criteria that any bank group applies, in other words, an unfriendly organization, to this application. And it doesn't come across as being friendly. And in fact, I don't think, if I'm right in saying that anybody from CIFA has even visited, certainly not from the head office, the Coa project in KZN, which is the test project, to see whether this thing actually works and to talk to the people. So, look, I'm not saying I support the application or I don't. I'm just looking at the process that follows and whether actually it is designed in such a way that the intended beneficiaries are actually getting what they need. Then finally, Chair, although this is not directly covered in the survey, I'd be interested to know, seeing as you're here talking to us, what is happening with the property portfolio? Because I had a conversation this morning with the Orlando West Industrial Park representative, who said that the last communication they had with the speaker was in October or November. There was no minutes of that meeting communicated to a weeper, and all requests for meetings subsequent to that had not been met with a positive response. In other words, the proposal for the industrial parks to be handed over to the management or the occupants or whatever seemed to have got stuck in the mud. And I'd like to get an update on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the chair. Also expressing appreciation for the input late. On slide 5, I could not understand clearly the facts of approved, not approved, if the CEO can go back to explain it more clearly. And then my second question is the research, what were the results of the research on the effectiveness of intermediaries? Was that part of what was assessed? And if it was, what were the results? Then my next question is, did the research cover hawkers, especially at the lower end? Examples, those that are selling at bus stations, railway stations, along the road, at hospitals, those type of hawkers, did the search cover them? Those that are selling, where you find a mother has a baby at her back, then she's selling some bananas, some oranges. Has the research covered them? And then on slide 13, business practice property portfolio. Oh yes, on slide 13. If the CEO can explain again that diagram, if he can speak to it again, I missed the essence of the message. And then, in as far as CIFA deals with cooperatives and individual businesses, SMMEs. When a CIFA offers loans or grants, whatever, does CIFA take into account that cooperatives is a number of people versus a sole trader where it is one person? Is that taken into account, or the two units are treated in a similar manner? Then on slide 29, that first bullet. If the CEO can speak to it again, give it a little bit of more flesh, the one of bankable and trust and creditworthiness, where it is finance providers such as commercial banks generally do not regard most LMNs and cooperatives as bankable and credit worthy. Then my last question is on the micro lenders. To what degree are micro lenders a role player? Are they increasingly playing a role, or is their role reducing? But if one can get a little bit of a status quo on the role and the effectiveness of micro lenders. Thanks. And with the street talkers, do we have some figures where they actually borrow or where they actually get assistance from the department or from the FIFA? Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you, Chief Shannon. Let me also welcome the presentation and make the point that some of the questions I'm covered by my colleagues who got the stage before me. But I want to check on page 23, if not mistaken, where because if you just say lowest rating in terms of it is 1% or compared to what? Because lowest can be anything from 0 to perhaps 90 if it is compared to 100, that some of the ratings were in 100%. So if perhaps you can be in a position to indicate that too. In terms of the efficiency, what advantage is the loss rating? On the issue of the feedback, on page 32, if not a second, no proper feedback or no feedback at all on declination of application. Perhaps if one may ask as to how was the client supposed to know that the application is not successful if you cannot be able to, after appreciating the receipt of the application, then eventually if it is declined, then the customer is supposed to be informed well and right, so that you cannot be able to wait with the high expectations that I will get something. The profiles on page 40. That it should seek to create profiles of Hispanic customers. Then I want to check as to whether you've already started profiling the target customers, or is it something that you foresee doing in future? I think I'm done, Chairperson.
Thank you. The last one is Honorable Beko.
No, thanks, sir. Let me just appreciate the input by the CEO. I think I've got one question. In your presentation, you mentioned that your products will be fine in areas like the post office, but I'm having a problem, as our colleague says, that the post office seems to have problems of their own. So how are you going to do that? And I've got a suggestion that maybe if you can extend your offices to be established in the rural areas where you find our courses in Brazil, they've got their offices, so that our people in the rural areas can just work to access your information and the financial support instead of using transport to go to villages where you said you put your offices in the villages. And in your survey, you said you've done the survey, but it seems as if you've never reached the places where your client base is. Because if it was done properly, I don't see any in your presentation mentioning the pushing pay point where you find or people, especially in the rural areas, where they exchange businesses, like they're selling their goods to the people in the pension. I think if the pension, I mean, if the survey was done properly, those areas should be mentioned. But let me just appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I will also try to add on questions that have been asked to, so that when you give a response, you also respond to those questions instead of me making a follow-up. Then at a later stage, I will pose my own separate questions. The first question that I want to add on is a question that is asked by Honorable Mlaute in relation to the number of approved and disapproved applications, in that the number of the disapproved is higher than the number of those that are approved. It then leads to the question that is asked by Honorable Koso, to say the feedback to the client that your application has been approved or your application has not been approved and the reasons for that are 1-3. But my question relates to FIFA and CEDA and the Department of Small Business Development being mandated to develop, not provide, to develop, that is the key word. And then in the process of developing, you provide the financial support in FIFA, and FIFA provides the non-financial support, meaning that to me, an application that has not been approved still had to be processed. The disapproval is not the final end of the application, because this is a developmental institute. It's not a commercial bank. You are not giving loans. You are actually providing a financial support for a small business and a cooperative in order to develop. Now, between the three, which is CEFA, CEDA, and the department, who provides the support that will make this application to be approved? Who provides the service that addresses the weaknesses that made the application to be not approved? Because you are not rejecting. What is supposed to happen is that any application that has come in had to be processed, and then if there are witnesses that are identified which are making the application not to be approved, has to then go back to the system, which will then begin to address those issues, those witnesses. Because CEFA is part of a development-oriented family, and this family is made of the Department of Small Business Development, FIFA, and CEDA. So that is the addition to the question.
That the second question is in addition to the issue raised by Honorable Chan about a letter received from COA last night stating the reasons why the application from the three cooperatives was declined by CIPA. I also received the same letter, and when I read it, my understanding was that the person who was actually adjudicating that doesn't understand the model. Because the questions are more addressed to power as opposed to be looking at the cooperatives. And again, it links to the same question that I asked, that is asked by Honorable Mulaudi and Honorable Khoza in relation to how you then facilitate the improvement of those to make this work, as opposed to just looking at an application. We are a financial institute. All that we do, we provide loans and we mitigate the risk. And in my view, you are not that. You are a developmental financial institute. And the question then that is linked to that is, in your tender document, when you were looking for the service provider, if the assessment was done by an external company, did you, in your tender document, specify that the company tendering to do this assessment should also demonstrate its understanding of cooperatives and how they differ from SMMEs, so that in the process of evaluating your products and also of understanding the needs of cooperatives, the company that is assisting you to do that would have had someone knowledgeable about cooperatives. And then the last question is also related to the issue raised by Honorable Chan in relation to the application of three cooperatives. Question is, in your team that assessed the application from those three cooperatives that are assisted by COA, was there an expert in cooperatives? And if there was there a communication or a person from the Department of Small Business Development who sat in that team? Because the response from the Department of Small Business in relation to the COA model is different from the response that is coming from CIPA. And the response that is also coming from Ogun District Municipality, in as far as the role that is going to be played by COA at the development process of those cooperatives, is different from the response that comes from the adjudication committee of CIPA. So Ogo and the Department of Small Business Development are convergent. They understand the concept and the model. They now need CIPA to play its role and provide the financial service to the cooperative that Ogo and DSB are working now to develop, assisted by COA as a technical support to those cooperatives. But CIPA now, an agent of the department, is not coming on board, and it seems that CIPA doesn't understand what is being done by the department and Ogu District Municipality. The question is, in that adjudication committee, was there a person from the Department of Small Business Development who understands the model that is being piloted in Ogu District Municipality through COA, assisting the cooperatives?
Kitchen?
Sure, Mandy. I could just respond because with your permission I'd like to leave earlier. I need to go and see a doctor. Just two things, Jay. I think there were questions on the interest rates that are being charged, the friendliness of CIFA, whether it is, the extent to which it is risk averse or not. I also heard Honourable Mabaka make reference to the workshop with CSIs. And because it would seem that there is a bigger question or bigger issue. My understanding is that most of the funds that are provided by departments, certainly by ourselves, are grants. And those that are the financial resources provided by CIFA, as it is by IEC or NEF on loans. Because of the relationship or that government as a whole has with DFIs, DFIs are required to be sustainable. And if a DFI were to come here and present its financial statements, its effectiveness is judged by the way that it is able to remain financially sustainable. And therefore, and when I speak under correction, they charge an interest rate. And they do not, as you say, charge developmental rates. So the bigger question is, who has to absorb the risk? Because they don't have, as far as I know, the resources to absorb the risk. I'm not sure if the fault around that lies with the DFI or the system and the way in which DFIs are funded. I don't tell you that I'm saying it's a question that's bigger than CIFA. It's the way in which, say, the Treasury or the whole of the state approaches DFIs. And I'm interested to know, maybe the Portfolio Committee is more knowledgeable, if you have engaged with DFIs. There was that review of DFIs a couple of years back, and views taken on the recapitalization of DFIs and something on the DFI system. So I just put that out there. The second one that strikes me, and also because we looked at CIFA's program review a few days ago, so that it had come to the committee as well, it's very clear that the department has to conclude with speed its work on the review of the Small Business Act. The Small Business Act contains the definitions of what a small business in the various constellations. And we have to take leadership on that. Because I think that even within our family, the department, CIFA, and CEDA, we have a different set of definitions for what is a small business or a micro business, etc. Linda was just showing me, it was the second quarter, the first quarter, third quarter report of CIFA, which says that 99% of the enterprises finance are from the micro enterprises or the informal sector. And if I think of Honourable Mabasa's question is, do you think, is your client that worker that stands at the corner, etc., etc.? And I'm wondering whether what we call here the micro enterprise informal sector, whether the picture is the same. and I think we had the conversation in this committee. Do we, what are the criteria by which we define these different kinds of enterprises? Is it turnover? Is it value of assets? Is it number of jobs? Is it their lifespan in a particular sector, etc.? So I think we have to take leadership. Because in the same way, the opinion makers, the people from whom a lot of the data is drawn around small business, is Stats South Africa. And Stats South Africa has got an income-based variable for defining small businesses. But and I'm saying we have to take leadership as a department and as a unit of work that we busy with. Those are just two comments.
Before the digitalist, I think that your response also requires us to then think broadly and begin to understand the role of government. What is the role of government? The role of government is to provide services. It is also to develop communities. But the manner in which systems of government are structured, they focus more on providing services as opposed to developing communities. The feature of community development only begins to come up strongly in the NDP document. Because for anyone to understand the relationship between the service delivery, which talk about the infrastructure, the building of hospitals, of the schools and everything, all those things are done for the community. But the community also has to play a role in ensuring that government does have a revenue base. Because government doesn't actually produce money. Government depends on the ratepayers and people who are actually buying the services that are provided by government to actually get the revenue from. Now, if the cities then are neglecting the community economic development aspect, which makes communities to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, and afford to pay for services, then the government will maintain two states in one state. A welfare state for the poor, who will receive free services because there is no focus in developing them economically, and a developmental state for the rich. And the rich are a few. The poor are many. The downside of that is that both these two states in one state will reach a state where those that are on the developmental side of the state, if government needs more money to service those that are on the welfare state, we have to increase the rates, the interest, taxes, and they will revolt because they are a few. They will not, the country will not afford to service the welfare side of the state by taxing a few. Therefore, there is a need to create a balance to reduce the number of those that are sitting on the welfare state, on the welfare state side of the state. If that is not understood, then there is a problem because the revenue base of government to actually provide the services comes from the very same community that the government is to provide services to. So if our systems then are not aimed at reducing the number of people that are receiving free services from government, the indigent register and the social grant register, this country will never be a developmental state. That is what we all need to understand. And then this department is put at the center
is ensuring that it facilitates a situation where small businesses, it's people who are sitting on the welfare state side of the state, are actually developed to a level where they become self-sufficient, self-reliant, and able to afford to pay for services. And then a permanent equity is created to those people, and they join the development outside of the state. And then the revenue base of the state is broadened. That is how you build a development state. Until we understand that, that then, FIFA is not a commercial bank that is giving loans for the purpose of gaining interest and has a big debt balance sheet, but FIFA is playing a role of reducing the number of people who are sitting on the welfare side of the state. The Canadian model. Government provides guarantees to cooperatives that are unable to repay the loan. For as long as in the assessment, that cooperative has enabled people who were not able to work, they were not employed, are now self-employed, they are able to pay for the services, they can buy their own houses. That has actually reduced the burden for government to provide those people with free houses, to provide those people with free everything. Therefore, although they are unable to repay the loan, but they have reduced the burden on government to look after those people. And then the state writes off that loan, or reduces the interest rate, because the state has benefited through that intervention. Although this cooperative is unable to repay the loan, but this cooperative has absorbed 10 people who were not working, they are now working, they are self-sufficient, they are self-reliant, they are able to pay for services. That is a benefit to the state. And therefore the state can, because this is a DFI, this then state rate will write off, because we have seen a benefit. And the benefit is we are no longer looking after those people through welfare services. They are able to provide themselves with those services. That is the benefit. Until we understand that, we will then have a problem. I just wanted to give that information before you leave DG, so that every department there, you will have that broader picture, so that when you sit down with FIFA and also understand your mandate, you are then able to understand that mandate and also differentiate the mandate of the department in relation to the development of SMMEs and the mandate in relation to the development of cooperatives. It's two different mandates. Thank you. Can we then get responses from the CFO?
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and the members for the questions and the comments, and we take this very seriously as it really helps us to continuously build our organization in terms of what's expected. I just want to maybe and respond to the first question of the core business, just to read in terms of what is the CIFA mandate that we might publish it also in our annual report. CIFA has to be the leading, it says CIFA must be the leading catalyst for the development of sustainable SMEs and cooperatives through the provision of finance. So that's really the mandate. So it's a provision of finance. And that's what we're doing. We have to be the leading catalyst for the development of sustainable SMEs and cooperatives through the provision of finance. So the role really largely is centered on finance provision, and by so doing, we need to be the catalyst in the development of SMEs and the corporations. One of the question relating to the whether the survey has look at the but it says, why is cooperative market not represented in the service delivery of CIFA? provides as part of what was said now in terms of the mandate. We are the leading catalyst in the provision of finance to SMEs and cooperatives. So SMEs on one hand, as well as cooperatives on the one hand, is what our mandate is in terms of financing their products. So it is definitely taken as the target area of our offering. I'm not sure if the part Honorable Chair is...
Kroger would want to say something.
Ma'am, no, I thought I would wait until the CEO finish. Number one, the question was about core business. So that was the first, not about the mandate, core business of CIFA. So there's a little bit of a difference. And the second one, I asked exactly the question why, because according to the slide, there's only six cooperatives on all cooperatives in the books. So that is the question. Why is there only four and not 400 or 4,000 or whatever? Because it doesn't look like the concentration or the focus is on cooperatives. Yes, I understand the mandate is aligned with small business development's mandate, which say cooperatives. But why don't they have any cooperatives on the products and clients? There's cooperatives on, in the books, because apparently it's not, according to the slide. I might be mistaken.
So thank you, Honourable Chair. The slide relates to the cooperatives that participated in the survey. We provide finance to cooperatives through cooperative financial services, where we give them the line of credit, who then on lend to a number of cooperatives. I think those details we can be able to provide, but particularly with regard to the participation in the survey were very limited. But I also admitted, I think we've indicated a number of times that in the area of cooperatives, if you have to look at the CIFA business as a whole, we have not done much on the cooperative space over the past 3 years since the institution was established. One area where we acknowledge that we need to be able to do more. We haven't done much. We have done more on the small and the medium enterprises as well as the micro enterprises.
Can I clarify the question? The question is that you are giving them money to look after the needs of both SMEs and cooperatives, financial needs. We all understand that. And then you are responding by saying, between the two children that you are asked to look after, we did not look after one of them. We only looked after... These are your two children. You are asked to give the food. You give one child one meal a day, and you give the other child three meals a day. And the question then that is being asked, why are you giving one child one meal a day and the other child three meals a day? That is the question.
We had not developed much on the other child. On the other child that we are giving less meal per day. And then I admit it's historically. When we started after the merger, there was this discussion around the Cooperative Development Agency, where at the beginning of CIFA, the cooperative development activities, where the cooperative activities at the time were going to be transferred to the Cooperative Development Agency. And the CIFA BNSR does at the beginning of the institution. We did not really get involved in it as much because of its anticipation until late in around 2013, where it was then said that that is not going to happen. We'll continue to provide finance.
Can I get into that?
the cooperative, what you are asked, you are mandated to provide finance to two structures, two clients. One client is the small, medium, and micro enterprises. The other one is the cooperatives. That, because there is thinking that at some point there will be a cooperative development agency, you then stop providing that service, which you are mandated to provide. Just because there is this thinking that at some point there will be someone who will look after this child, and that I will be at that time expected not to give this child food. But for now, I am responsible for giving this child food. What makes you then not to give these two children equal means?
Chairperson, may I also add a question to that? There's something I do not understand about the population in the database. I thought it meant the number of cooperatives you have on the database. Is that correct? Because if it is correct, they talk about approved cooperatives down the database and not approved cooperatives, they are also on the database, and then talk about a sheet sample. So I just need clarity there. This not approved database, approved cooperative, what are they doing on the database? Because they make distinguish between those that have been used in the sample. Okay. Three of those that have been used are from those that have not been approved, but on the database. So what's the difference between approved and disapproved cooperatives on the database?
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I just have to, as I said, I'm trying to be very honest in terms of response, that one child can be on the cooperative side, and even at the beginning, in terms of even building the resources, the capabilities internally, where we did not build the capabilities at that time, which now we are beginning to build the capabilities on the cooperative side. The skill set internally within FIFA in that area of business has been one of the shortcomings on our part. That is really that would particularly happened. So
in short, can we say the cooperative was treated more like an illegitimate child in this family?
That would be correct, yes. That would be correct, because we did not really allocate in sufficient resources at the time, which now we are beginning to look at that, Honorable Chair.
If that is the case, does the department and its entities understand the milk economy of South Africa and the three pillars that drive that economy? The milk economy is driven by the private sector through private companies, the state, through state-owned companies that are 700 and something, and then the cooperatives that are in SIFO. There are thousands and thousands of them, but 88% of those have died. The mortality rate of cooperatives is 88%. Yet, three pillars drive the mix economy of South Africa, and this one, which is the cooperative, is the one that actually represents the community in the economy. Has there been that understanding in the department, or it is a new understanding, that is, you are being made aware by the portfolio committee that, by the way, there are three pillars that drive the new economy in South Africa. And one of them, which represents the community, is the cooperative. And then the challenges, triple challenges, poverty and unemployment would actually be mitigated by that actual pillar and facilitating active participation of communities in the mainstream of the economy will be facilitated by that pillar this neglected child. Is that the understanding? Has that been the understanding, or it is an understanding that is only driven now by the portfolio committee? I'm asking that because you come from DTI. When this problem was still in DTI, tell us the thinking then, and the thinking in the past 2 years of the establishment of this department, and the thinking moving forward.
No, thank you, Chair. Honourable members. Yeah, it is true, Chair. I think in the past, in terms of priorities, when we're still part of the DTI, I think it was first, I think, big business, industrial development, and then I think it'd be SMEs, and then the last, the cooperative. I think, in fact, it's a new thing, the cooperatives. I think we only had the first strategy in 2003, 2005. That's when we only had the new strategy on cooperatives. So we are still learning, understanding the role of cooperatives in the economic development of communities. So we are getting there, Jeff. You realize that even in the strategic plan that we are going to present next week, we are prioritizing cooperatives. For example, we've changed in the way we fund cooperatives. I think when we're part of the DTI, it was more of throwing money. We just fund one individual cooperative in Mthatha, and then fund another one in Gunu. But now what we're looking at is more of clusters, because we believe that if we fund cooperatives that are in a cluster form, sustainability is guaranteed. Even the scale, you know, when they are supposed to deliver, for example, Pick and Pay or whoever, they will be able to deliver if they are in the form of a cluster. So we are getting there, we are learning, Chair.
Honourable Chaba, followed by Honourable Lego and Honourable Laos.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I won't try to set off the tone and process in the meeting. It goes good. I don't know why. But I do have a sense that this issue of cooperatives has not been given the priority from the onset. It's unfortunate now that POASI has to answer for this. But I do believe that it's not their responsibility. I do believe that for a long time there has been this biasness, which I think we are responsible for, right before the processes. And therefore, what to me would have been important now is that since the report has made these things to surface, and when we address this report, therefore, it has been exposed that these are the shortcomings and some other things which need to be corrected. I also think that they have identified these things to be corrected. And therefore, what the FDG is talking about, the strategic plan, and then the performance plan, to me, this is what is supposed now, that we are supposed to give them instruction that in their plan, it must be included, and it must indicate how it's going to be implemented, and to correct all these tenets that, to some extent, this thing has been making cooperatives to be treated as indicated, as specified. But actually, I do believe that to some extent, this cooperative development in South Africa does not have a common understanding, and therefore it gives a challenge to everyone. And therefore it says to me that to some extent it needs to be corrected, even the fact that the department is not mentioned even in the name of the department. That in itself should have been a challenge, but it seems to me that there has been some understanding that not mentioning it tells me that it is somehow included in that concept that cooperative also will be part of small business. But it needs to be presented in a way that the messenger must not be the one who's suffering in this case. I think it needs to be corrected at the entire level. Thank you.
No, thank you. Understand my face there because from what the BCG says that next week they will be presenting the strategic planning. But I was just wishing that the co-ops, the three co-ops that have been supposed to be started by the people that have been turned off. And what is going to happen? Because that means that they will not prioritize. The strategic plan is coming next week, then it's a problem. Thank you.
I don't know what is happening in the department because I had the DG was responding here. I couldn't hear what she was saying until you intervened and tried to show her the way.
Yes.
So I would like maybe the chairperson to have a session with the DG and baptize her. Unfortunately, she's not around. So that she can understand. I can say she's confused. She doesn't understand what's happening. And from day one, Honorable Mabasa was told the department when it started, why are we not include the main cooperatives in the name of the department? Look now, even the entities, they undermine these cooperatives, because they are not there. They're just on the periphery. So, and we are asking again to the department, BDG, what is the first to change the name? So the cooperative, they must feel at home here in this department. Because even they see the statistics, we see cooperatives in a very small margin. FIFA statistic, cooperatives, very small margin. So I don't know, Chairperson, it will need us, because we understand, but it's like they don't understand. And the years are coming. This is the second, we are on the third year now of this department. The DG is telling us that learning this thing, learning now. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think that these comments are very, very important. But what we need to also understand is that currently, this assessment is looking at the products and the programs that are inherited from DTI. And then we are looking at the recommendations of what needs to be done. What seems to be the shortcoming in the recommendations is that, which I appreciate if the CEO can answer that question honestly. The question that's this, in the company that was awarded this tender of evaluating those programs, was there, did you specify in the tender document or terms of reference that because this department that we are an entity of is mandated to develop SMMEs and cooperatives, we would want them to appoint a company that is going to assess the programs that we inherited from DTI and the mandate that we were giving them in relation to the new mandate. In as far as the need, the felt need, what is said by Honorable Chan, in as far as the felt need by the cooperatives and SMMEs are concerned, therefore the team that will be put together by this company should include people who have an understanding of cooperative development in the context of community economic development, because the cooperative is not the end product. The end product is a community that is economically developed. So the cooperative is a tool here in this book. Experiment in community economic development. Let's go to Mondragon. So Mondragon is using cooperatives to develop communities economically. Experiment of community economic development. So the cooperative is not the end product. The cooperative is the tool and the system that you use to develop communities economically. And it relates to the meat economy that South Africa is saying it is. But currently, South Africa, with an uneven level of participation of these three pillars in the economy is not a mixed economy. So, simple answer, did you specify that you needed a person with that expertise to be part of this company to actually do the assessment that would then enable CIFA in the recommendations to align its services to the needs of cooperatives as a tool and instrument of community economic development?
Honorable Chairperson, the terms of reference did not go into detail. What it did that no detail, which included on the questionnaire, was the quote of what is the mandate of the department. But if you go into detail in terms of when you zoom into what the department says about corporates, what are the characteristics and the interests, it didn't go into this specifically. It was just more indicating that on the survey questionnaire that went to the clients that responded, this is the mandate of CIFA, this is the mandate of the department, and then but didn't go into detail.
Bring it back to me when you're finished with it. And I would also recommend that the Department of Small Business buys this book.
Honorable Chair, if you can give an opportunity to respond to some of the questions that have been raised. I just want to give another limitation, which maybe I might not have highlighted in detail in terms of this exercise. I think this relates to questions that have been raised by Honorable Menshu as well as Honorable Mavasa on where the survey ended. The survey did not look at, it didn't go into the micro enterprises themselves. And on the cooperatives, it looks at the cooperatives, financial institutions, and not the clients of the CFIs. I think that is the limitation. So the six approved and the six rejected relates to the cooperative financial institution, not the underlying cooperatives themselves. I think this, I must admit, is the limitation. And that goes also in terms of the question that Honorable Santi raised, that the honor of financials, we talk about a significant number of clients that constitute our client base, largely 90% constituted by the micro enterprises. The limitation of the survey, which we picked up, we did discuss that with the service provider post the exercise having been concluded, that ex-management, which will be the next leg going forward, would have liked the it was not included in the terms of reference for them to go deeper into the hawkers, all those receive funding to our intermediaries, particularly the microfinance intermediaries that covers largely the informal sector. So that is the limitation of the survey. It didn't go deeper, Honorable Chair, into the level of the end users. Only end users at direct lending. Remember, we have a direct lending where we provide funding. If you look at slide number 5, slide number 5, the SMEs that have been approved and rejected, these are the ones that are through our direct lending channel, branch network where the clients are funded by CIFA. But when you look at others that talk about distribution channels, the cooperatives not approved, those are the ones that we do through the partnerships. But it did not go into the level of the underlying entities. For example, the relationship that we have with Anglo Bumele, where Anglo put 100 million, we put 100 million, and funded those are in the small scale mining. The survey did not go into the clients that are funded through Anglo Bumele. It only went into the Anglo Bumele by way of the example, which is one of the limitations that, in hindsight, we need to be able to do this survey on a regular basis. I think again, in the interest of the time in which we need to deliver on this, we have identified in hindsight that it should be more broader to go into that level of those that receive. In other words, going into the villages, those that are getting funding from the like of a small enterprise foundation which receives funds from ourselves, what are their clients saying? So that is one thing that I just really want to highlight. The survey explained the money, I mentioned that one. The post office, I think the reason why we really didn't use the post office at the time, although we thought of it at some point, is because of the challenges that they were going through. But we, in our mind at the time, we felt that because of the network, remember during the time of other activities that we were doing, the buying of the shares by other private listing of the shares, we thought that they've got adequate system to utilize, and their post office is situated in villages and rural areas. But it never gets traction because of the challenges that they face. But as I said in my presentation, we have identified the LEDs as really that are in the local and district municipalities as a more low-hanging fruit for us to utilize to reach our customer base. The CRM program is internal. It's run it's not run by consultants. It's an internal system that we have developed that looks in terms of how can we really improve our customer relationship management. We did a benchmark with other DFIs on this program. The other question, again, I think the cost bank I did mention about that one. The use of commercial banks, the service provider indicates here that because the clients are intimidated with the usage of a bank, why is SIFA believing that this is a proper channel to utilize? I think we are of the view that in order for us to scale up our activities, the demand of our services is high, and we take into consideration the cost allocation. If you utilize the network that are already available, for example, the LEDs, the feed network, etc. But for us to be able to scale up significant activities, we believe that the collaboration with banks and non-banks financial institutions will really help us to deliver on our mandate to really make sure that funding is made available. And then our program, as you see when we present next week, is underpinned by partnerships, and we believe that we need to be able to build the partnerships with banks. The program has been around for a number of years. There were times when it was in a booming area around 2008, 2009, but the bank felt that they take up being very, very low, and then again, we were of the view that at the time, the banks did not they just thought it's a guarantee. If they can just lend to each and every client, if the default will come to us for indemnification. And it didn't come out to be the case because they have to prove that they were not indigent in terms of funding that they provided to small businesses before they can be able to come to SIFA for indemnity. In other words, they have to have a court judgment that this client is defaulted before they can come to SIFA, SIFA indemnified. So as a result of that, banks were reluctant. But we still see that there is an opportunity, and even in terms of our interaction with banks now, they want really to utilize the facility that we have. And then by so doing, for us, it helps us now that it's not necessarily a cash base, it's an indemnity, and then where they provide the funding, SIFA is not putting out the money, it's only for the guarantee in case there is a default, and this default has to be proven from judgment point of view.
Sorry, the, I'm sorry, I have to attend a meeting of chairperson. There is a meeting of chairperson committee, and I would like to be at you and ask Honorable Mabasa to take over.
Thank you, Chair. The other question, how do you see fast turnaround times compared to commercial banks? Our turnaround times are long as compared to commercial banks. We have set ourselves targets. I have to give an example in terms of a bridge loan. If one has got a contract to add a bridge pool or things, we set ourselves 10 working days. But we have never achieved the 10 working days. It's averaging about 26 working days on the bridge loan for a number of reasons. Even if it's a bridging facility, we still need to assess the validity of that. there are instances where we think that there might be people who want to create invalid contracts, etc., that you engage with our internal audit. We need to be able to say those that might go and create the piece of invoices or contracts, we need to do a proper due diligence to satisfy ourselves that yes, indeed, those that are getting contracts from FIFA, the contracts are valid. We need to satisfy ourselves, and again, there's some element of sustainability there on. So that is very, very crucial. So we said 10, but it's, 10 is not, it hasn't been working, because we have to make sure that there is a tax clearance certificate, among other things, the registration has been proper, etc. So that is on the bidding loan. On the 10 loans, we set ourselves 30 working days. And again, it's not always, we do not, I think that we were ambitious when we set the target of 30 working days, because the nature of the business that we fund are those that cannot be funded by banks. The high level of risk on those businesses, we need to handhold, we need to be able to do a thorough exercise. Information do come to us, which clients support them to be a business plan, but in most cases it's a business profile, which us, we need to be able to say to what extent can this particular application or project be taken to a stage where it can be, if I have to use the word, bankable. In other words, the business that can be funded, because we are saying we have to fund the businesses that have the potential to be sustainable over a period of time. So again, on the 30 working days, sometimes it can be 36 and 40 working days, etc. To and fro questions, again, the issue around the tax clearance certificate might not be in place, etc. And then the application status, because the first and foremost, we are saying we need to also look at the financial cash flow ability. Is this business going to generate cash flow that can pay back the debt? Because at the end of the day, we are saying the debt that we provide has to be paid back. And then how can we be able to help the client? In most cases, we are not rejecting it. We refer back. And when we refer over and over again, the clock is ticking in terms of the turnaround time. Those are some of the challenges that we face resulted in a long turnaround time. But on the wholesale transaction, we normally do set ourselves 50 working days. Then we are normally companies that are already well established, they've got all the necessary information. It's easier to be able to assess those transactions. Interest rate, I'm going to look from a direct lend point of view. The surveys indicated the interest rate or the charges that we make are high. We believe that the interest rate for development finance institutions should not necessarily be lower than the interest rates charged by banks for a number of reasons. We have got a high appetite for risk. The clients that FIFA fund are of high risk in nature. We don't take security or collateral. We don't require a deposit. Whereas if a similar client go to a bank will require collateral, will require certain contribution, and we do not require that. And as a result, we take a high level of risk, which is particularly on a debt instrument, we take a risk equivalent of an equity instrument. Because in most cases, we are the only funder for projects that are high risk, for clients that cannot be able to be funded by commercial banks, for clients that would have adverse credit record, for example, the listed in the credit bureau, etc. So as a result of that, we need to be able to compensate for the risk. However, we have built in what we call a developmental impact on our pricing model. We look at whether is this business owned by a black person, is this business owned by youth, is this business owned, is situated in a rural area, and then is this business owned by people with disability. That's when looking at similar, let's say you're looking at similar companies, and then you run your model on risk and it gives you a certain percentage, and thereafter you look at a specific development where we give an incentive, in other words, a discount on pricing for development. Our price is about prime plus 4%, prime plus 5% on average on a direct lending plan. That is already a discounted price. If we have to price on risk, we should be pricing at about 82%. But we price at about 13.7% on our client because of the high level of risk. At the same time, because of the funding element, we receive a very small portion of funding, which is a grant portion that comes from the fiscus, which debt grant portion we use to cushion the discount on the pricing, and the cash in the bank that we have inherited from Estuary Institution. And going forward, we'll be tapping into the money that the 921 million that IDD has allocated to over the next five years. So we need to be able to charge these interest and fees that are within the law, but at the same time be able to sustain the institution for us to be able to lend to SMEs and properties. Yeah, so I did answer the how long it takes to do the funding around times. One of the challenges that we face in terms of the issue around efficiency that has been highlighted is two areas that Honorable Mr. is really mentioned on the point that he raised around the issue of skills base. The skills base which we are continuing to build within the institution, and as we build, also build within the constraints of the financial resources that the organization is having. When the merger took place in 2012, it was said even every staff must move. They were forced to come. They were, even those that didn't want to come, they were forced, and they must come to this new institution. And as a result of that, the previous institution, external institutions, Summer and Cooler, what they were doing in terms of what FIFA is doing, intensively pick up this. They were taking skills that are not necessarily aligned. The previous institutions were only doing what's called the wholesale lending through intermediaries, so they just engage with big companies. And then, as a result of that, that has been a challenge for us as we build, you know, building an institution where you are saying you have skills that is shortage. We hired people in the process, and we hired qualified chartered accountants and engineers as we continue to build, but also have the legacy staff that we are continuing to trade from time to time. So I would say the issue of efficiency is a combination of lack of sufficient staff that we require, and also the skills that we continue to build from time to time. And we see ourselves really as a young institution. And I would believe that, you know, over time we will be able to really continue to improve in terms of our offering. There was a question about whether women, youth, black, etc. Our target market says we have to provide funding based on the disbursements to businesses that are owned by black people. 70% of our funding are black, as we define in the constitution. And then as a target, and then 45% of our funding have to go to businesses that are residing in the rural areas. 80% have to be businesses that are owner managed by young people. 45% have to be businesses that are owner managed by women. A woman can happen to be a youth, can happen to be sitting in the rural area, etc. So the percentage, just given example now, might be definitely more than 100%. So, but however, this just helps in terms of stratify the tight market in terms of the grouping based on the disbursements, which we as part of the reporting from time to time on a quarterly basis. So that is that part.
Can I have clarity?
Oh yes, go ahead.
Because here we have black people as an item, and we also have women and youth. So my question was, if these women and youth are black people, why the need to have black people separately? So on top of that, are these women and youth inclusive of other race groups, or they are also black people? That's my question.
CEO?
Thank you, Sir Person. The women, youth can be black and be white. It can be youth-owned businesses are owned by white young people, and the people with disability can be white people, but black ones just have this distinction that's not within the umbrella of our funding. There were questions raised by Honorable Miles, wanted us to clarify slide 5, which why is, I think one question, why are the rejected clients more than the approved clients? In fact, when we talk about rejected clients, are the clients in which applications have gone through the approval committee process. We receive quite a number of inquiries. We can receive 5,000 inquiries, by way of example. Out of these 5,000 inquiries, some of them are applications. And then some of them are just inquiries that are not ready to go through the process of funding. So for those that go into the process of funding, including the inquiries, we'll say maybe it's out of 5,000. We may take maybe 50% of that go to the next process. Because as I said, others are just inquiries. So we definitely have more those that are not approved than those that have been approved. I think it's mainly the nature of business, and I think this it's not only from CIPA alone as a DFI. I'm sure this applies to other DFIs. There will be quite a number of applicants, and then which are rejected more than those that are approved by a number of reasons. It might just be the business model. We find that this business model is it's not a sustainable business model that we can be able to fund, etc. So these are really the reason why one is higher than the others. I'll also ask a question.
May I ask a follow-up question, sir, on this one? Wouldn't it be helpful to separate applications for finance from inquiries? Because people lump them together, and you tell us that the reason why those that are approved are more than those that are approved is because the majority of them were inquiries and not applications for finance. It is, for lack of a better way, it is not helpful. Because anybody looking at these briefs would see that all these were applications for finances and work cut out. So why didn't they separate inquiries from those who are applying for finances?
Let me just clarify. I was giving that by way of example, that there will be more inquiries before they go into application. All of these were application stage. In other words, if I look at the one not SMEs, the not approved SMEs are those that are in the application stage. In other words, it's a transaction that has gone through the process, the credit team has looked at it, the due diligence exercise was done, it was submitted to a committee, and the committee did not approve. But I'm going to try to illustrate that in addition to the not approved, that are not the inquiry part, the inquiries are not included here. But I was just trying to illustrate that we receive a bit much more inquiries. Within some of the inquiries, there are those that can go in the stage of application. So all this population that is here is the clients that the application have gone through the process, so they are complete applications, Honorable Chairperson.
I'm struggling to understand this, and I'm not, as I said, struggling. That was not the question. We don't want to hear about inquiry. The question it's not answered. So if the CEO can just answer the question, it's a straightforward question.
Perhaps check with the current mate, the CEO, is it clear to you, or do you want it further to be further clarified by the members?
Honorable Chairperson, it's clear. It's very clear to me. I think the question was why we have got more not approved than approved. I think I'll just try to illustrate by going back into things that are not part of this this exercise. I'm saying it's not uncommon to have clients that are not approved than those that have been approved. The traction, I'm saying 30% in most cases of application get approved, but they go through the process because of a number of reasons where we find that the committee look and assess and they look at this application. This client is cash flow generating ability is not able to pay back the loan from FIFA. So that would be the reason. Okay. Thank you, Richard. The other one leads to the question, FIFA, no offices in the rural areas, how is FIFA planning to increase its activities? Yes, we do not have much presence in rural areas themselves, but we have got offices in rural provinces. In rural provinces, which we are saying we need to be able to expand through the co-location with the lack of FIDA, co-location with the local economic development, and we are also looking at the post office as one other option in addition to the other option that we have identified. The question by Honourable Thaba led to particular slide 20, slide number 29, where we did mention in terms of our 29 or 30, oh yeah, in terms, yeah, 29, I think they specifically asked the, am I right, the bullet point one, am I? Yeah, the Commissioner General did not regard most SMEs and cooperatives as bankable and credit worthy. I think this is correct. It's a fact that ordinarily clients that FIFA fund, they will not get funded by banks because in most cases banks require collateral. They want security to be provided. They would want there should be some contribution that needs to be made. What is it that owner's contribution is made by entrepreneurs, etc. And then this feedback here is really saying that they don't see them as bankable. Hence now the role of a development finance institution such as ourselves to come in and assist and take a higher level of risk that ordinarily any commercial bank would not take. The 55% is definitely low in comparison. If you look at those that really are on the product side, that know they provide products in terms of debt instruments, the term loan, the bridging loan, etc. In terms of the percentage of receipt, it goes above 87%. So we really consider 55% with regard to efficiency as low, which for us is an area where there is significant room for improvement. We need to improve the turnaround time. We need to be able to really assist our clients in terms of the service delivery and how quick we will respond to the question and then any halt. And again, the nature of that we mustn't treat our clients in a way as if they know it all in terms of what they're doing. We need to be able to be understandable in terms of their need and their business. The overlapping of FIFA. Yeah, FIFA and FIDA. This relationship of FIFA and FIDA, we, from a management point of view, we are intensifying this relationship, not only at high level. I sit in the board of FIDA as a non-executive director. And it helps me at least to be able to share in terms of what is expected from FIFA side and how can we be able to make an input in the board so as to be really a seamless institution. And then we are now incorporating what we call the technical team within at various levels of the organization so that our staff at a lower level of the organization continue to interact with STEM committees in a number of areas, one related to collocation, one related to what FIDA does in terms of incubation, how can we then be able to have the incubation that come out of the FIDA program be funded by FIFA. I think this relationship is really more now intensified as we all institutions reporting to the Department of Small Business Development, but we believe there's still a room to do more in this area. There is no fronting in terms of I'm not going to pick up the, we don't see any possibility of fronting. I take advice in terms of the research. Our research team is very, very small, but we believe they can be able to tap into other research. It's not a matter of them producing new research, in my view, but it's research that will be done by agriculture research council, for example. They can be able to tap into those, and I think that's one of the areas where we have identified the need to improve our tools so that we understand the various sectors and specifics on various problems. I think the same applies to the link between production and the COP, and the marketing. I think for us, we are beginning as we are interacting with the portfolio committee, we are interacting with the department more intensely in terms of us developing the value chain in all we do. But that has to link from production, it has to link from marketing of the product, etc. As we interact with other private sector, the likes of pick and pay interaction, the cash bird and others, we are able to be able to tap in the market for small businesses. And I think the value chain initiatives then come out of the collaboration. The migration of SMEs to big business, we have put, you see, when we discussed our strategy and corporate bank going forward, we have identified the national guardrails that are driven through SIA as one of the significant pipelines that has been more cushioned from a risk point of view, where we can be able to participate in terms of funding, where these guardrails can be able to really grow into a black industrialist among others. So we subscribe the fact that in SMEs, particularly the workers, the micro, they should not be able to be stuck in one area. They need to be able to migrate from micro to small and medium, and then after into gazelles and the industrialists. The question by Honorable Chang in terms of who conducted the survey, whether it was internal or external. It was the external survey that went through the proper tender process managed by our procurement the department, supply chain department in terms of that. It was awarded to a company called Devnomics. It's a well-known company in terms of the survey they've done. They've done a number of research in this industry. There were quite a few people who have done similar work. And then based on the scope that we have provided, so the charges is above that's under 500,000 rand in terms of the cost of the salary. Specifically, I think it's 486 or so. But we can give a specific figure. But it's under 500 rand, and we believe that again, maybe looking in terms of I indicated at the beginning, they interviewed executive management, the ESCO, they interviewed some of the board members. They interviewed, told the questionnaire that they sent, the clients that are filed via the intermediary, via the direct lending, the numbers that we just mentioned, the 1,000, the other 1,000 of them are approved. And then they also interact with our channels, being the intermediaries or partners that we utilize from time to time, and one commercial bank. It was really a comprehensive. I mean, what we give really in terms of this presentation, because we're trying to contain much into the presentation, they've done a detailed work in our view, and we believe that the work that they've done is really value for money. It helps us really to continue to look, but there's still, as I said, a number of limitations. In hindsight, we would have liked them to have to engage with the end users who receive money through our partners from time to time. So I believe it was really not inwardly focused. They look outside, but it must not necessarily have been enough, as any survey will have the limitation. The grant that I mentioned, I think what I was trying to illustrate is that it's a grant in kind. See, we don't say we just give the grant as a funding. It's a grant in kind where we provide, where we allocate, for example, a mentor to support the clients that are funded by ourselves. In fact, of late now, we are putting it as a conditionality because of some of the challenges that we face. relating to the direct lending of the funds that you have mentioned in terms of a high level of repayment that we have in the direct lending side. We are saying as part of conditionality from the time when the application gets approved, it is a consumer precedent. In most cases, you know, we match a client's mentor. That is, for us, it does have to help us that by nature of the client that we deal with, that client will then be able to be hand-held, be able to be supported, provided with the necessary support from time to time so that we can be able to collect. While on this one, really, it didn't touch in terms of the collection rates, but like the direct lending side, which the figures that you mentioned are correct, it was not included as really part of the exercise to look in terms of the collectability from the hands of reference point of view. And as I said, it also did not include the client that received funding. You mentioned about a number of microfinance enterprises that receive the funding through our partners. It only go at the level of partners, it didn't go at the level. Hence, you see the number in this, included in the population. It is has not included the end user level. But it's one of the areas where we have identified going forward, we need to be able to look at it. We once did some internal desktop, which we call Inclar, etc., but it was not really scientific in the exercise, but we believe that as we move forward, we will need to be able to look at it. The relationship with banks, I think, is a big part of it. Why banks and these are not in the same room for discussion? I think we are trying to interacting from time to time with banks individually, from time to time. Some of them, when we attend the enterprise development initiatives, the seminars, conferences, and supply, sometimes we share our platform, but I think there's need to have more collaboration. Honorable Chair, I would not want to go into the specific debt client that you did mention. Maybe I'm talking about client relationship. I did engage the client, given the reasons why the application has been rejected. We are still going to continue to engage. But so doing it is the client. Remember, this model, is the client was also, the client and the partner were putting the model for the first time. We believe that based on the lessons learned in terms of activities, there are certain areas where we were not compatible in terms of how the transaction as a whole was handled. But I had a long telephone conversation with the client, and then my team will continue to do that. But I would not want to dwell at this platform in terms of details because of the client relationship of confidentiality. But we are looking at that. You did raise a question relating to update on the properties. Yeah, that's one of the limitations. I think the survey really didn't dwell on that area. We are revamping the properties. I'm not sure when last you visited some of the properties you go to Bukay. We are looking at the Owipa property in the land of West. We have collaborated, in fact, this came as a blessing, if I have to put it, with CIFA, where the National Department of Trade and Industry, as well as the Housing Department, for no consideration by CIFA, they have offered to refurbish our properties, and we are not to pay anything back to them. But we indicated that we have properties that are historically there are disputes in terms of those that need to be sold to them, to the members that were promised many years ago during the days of SBDC. We have engaged in November, as you rightly say, with them. We indicated to them that we were taking this matter through the internal process to the board. We went to our board meeting that fit last week. The board has requested a few changes that need to be made by our enterprise risk committee, which is the subcommittee of the board. And then we are on track to be able to, we are developing a model as to how we are disposing these properties to the tenant. And we did indicate to them that once that has taken place, we have communicated back to them, and I think we are at the tail end of finalizing that proper issues, because we believe that they've been boycotting, they haven't been paying the rent is in arrears and because of dispute, and we feel that it is in our best interest to find a solution of disposing these properties, but there has to be a way in which the properties have to, how can they be able to acquire what methodologies we are putting in place, which will engage them. They did undertake to us that once they once they we have agreed on this, they will start paying the arrears. I think for us, rate and taxes is our responsibility as a landlord, but we need to be able to let them pay the services, particularly electricity and water, and which CIFA is continuing to pay for on those properties. So it has to be some sort of give and take, which we anyway have agreed in that respect. You have indicated that I need to re-highlight on slide 5, I think it's 5 now, slide 5 where we're splitting the approved, not approved, I'm not sure if I did try to highlight, but I can still look at that later. Limitations, Chair, on your question relates to the research if it affects the, if you look at the effectiveness of the intermediaries, it did not. It did not, I think it's one of the limitations again, and this is the significant research of, or review of its kind that we have ever done, I think, as we have done this one, because we did directly this at ESCO level with the service provider that we would want you to do. In hindsight, this is the areas we need to be able to, our clients, the hawkers, are they happy with the services that intermediaries offering? But that part it didn't cover, and then it's one of the areas that definitely going forward we would want to, we would definitely want to expand an element of agency. We'll look at that. The diagram, which is slide 18, basically what it says here, it just gives the products that CIFA is offering. If you look at the top right hand side, where we provide the funding through our branch network, the direct lending, where we provide funding from 50,000 to 5 million. This is done through our branches. It is also done through an internally program called Structured Finance Solution, which my colleague Vuelo here is leading with our team, where we structure this transaction, where the funding, even if we structure it with a partner, the funding still goes through CIFA loan book. An example in kind, we have partnered with TEP, Tourism Enterprise Partnership, where they say they have got more than 3,500 members who are participating in the tourism industry. They bring the expertise in terms of technical expertise, in terms of understanding the business of tourism than what we have internally. They help us in terms of basic assessment. We structure that from putting a facility together. But however, the funding money does not go to tech. The money goes to clients of CIFA directly, where we package it as a structured finance or hybrid, as it were. And then we provide asset finance, which is those that want to buy plant and equipment. Yellow goods, they might be in the farming space, they want to buy tractors. They might be in the delivery space, they want to buy vans, etc., motor vehicles. That's where we support through asset finance. Bridging loan is those that we have got a contract. Largely the tenders from the sphere of government, public or private sector, they got tenders that they need to execute. They need money first to be able to execute the tender. We then give them a bridging loan which can be repaid within a period of 12 months. Asset finance is a 5 years, can be up to 5 years. Revolving loan is for the clients that have proved themselves. Yes, we have given the client a bridging loan, it's constructing the road, putting potholes in certain areas, and they have done more work, and then when they have done more work, they have proved themselves, we don't have to subject them to the rigorous process, like they are coming for the first time. We then give them a revolving. So, let's, for example, give them 5 million facility, they utilize it, and then they have got other contracts they want to utilize, so we just let them tap into that facility. That's the revolving loan. Term loan can be any loan for anything, maybe working capital that is payable also after a period of 5 years. That is the right-hand side of the diagram. The bottom part of the diagram is the non-financial support, where we are saying internally through either our main offices or internal head office, we have got what we call post-investment monitoring, where clients have to go out there and monitor the clients. How are the clients doing? And we also say to the staff, even if the client is paying well, go and see how the business is doing. If the business is requiring expansion or other constraint, identify early warning signal in the process. Institutional pensioning is where we provide some support in terms of IT infrastructure, where we are saying this business will fund it. It's either maybe a cooperative financial institution that realize that they don't have enough system. They don't have enough system that we can be able to rely upon in terms of the numbers. Because all what we need on a quarterly basis, a regular basis, is the information. How many women have been funded? How many blacks have been funded? With rural town, etc. So if they are running short of that, we then be able to buy that. We pay directly to the supplier and we can support them. That's what we call institutional support. Management and technical support is what we also provide. I gave an example of the relationship with SAICA. Board representation is where we sit in the board of some of these companies. Commercial and industrial properties is on the property side we have that I just explained a few minutes ago. The wholesale on the left-hand side, the red one, is where CIFA provides funding through the intermediaries. This is what we inherited from SAMAF and Kula. This is what SAMAF used to do in the past. The business of SAMAF and Kula was to give an online on-lending facility to other enterprises who can then online. I just want to clarify here is these private companies, they are not agents of CIFA per se. They come and borrow money from CIFA that they have to pay back money to CIFA. But however, they help us as a vehicle to go into areas where we don't have presence. For example, the Small Enterprise Foundation, which is based in Tanin, in Limpopo, the old Gateway, as well as another one called Takamani, so the biggest one, that have got a lot of footprints and also understanding of the micro survivalist hawkers businesses in terms of the infrastructure that they already have. We then utilize them, we give them a line of credit. We can give them also a revolving credit facility. We can also structure the finance solution with them. We can also give them a term loan where they have to repay. We ordinarily take the session of debtors. The debtors that they have, debtors book that they have, if they fail to pay us, we then take a session of debtors. So this is the model. And in terms of our business activities, it's a model that currently, until we develop more of our structured finance solution, this is the model that really gives us more in terms of our funding, our impact from a development point of view. Does CIFA take into account that property is a priority? I think I think I was really candid there on the chair here that this is one area where we have found wanting. We still need to do more on the cooperative side. It's a poor cousin. It has been a poor cousin in the way of our business activities. We concentrate more on the small, micro, and medium-sized enterprises. We need to build capacity in this area. We do have, one of the employees that work in this area has been a register for cooperatives during the days of the month. But there still needs for really for us to capacitate this area. I mean, we believe we've got people that can be able to assess transactions. Might not necessarily have a detailed expertise on the cooperatives. We need to be able to build those and we have identified as one area really to build. I think when I was going through slide 29, or that's where I was looking at sustainability, I think I explained that one. They are all discussing the micro lenders. Oh yeah, to what degree are the micro lenders and their role players? Yeah. We call them a microfinance institution. I know micro lenders sometimes they can end up grouping the Masonisas in the same case. We see them slightly different. Maybe when we go interact with them, if they are more difficult, they are developmental funders, they are they see themselves as social funders, etc. They get this via the grant fund that they receive from various donors, and they give them the loan they have to pay back. We are deliberating, this is continuous deliberation. In terms of the number that we produce, we are saying if we do not utilize them, what impact would that be? The direct lending model, I mean, in terms of the numbers on direct lending, the direct lending will never give us scale. Even if we can have offices all over the place, it won't give us scale in terms of the numbers currently. Hence, we are introducing the structured finance solution, where we are partnering with other institutions. For example, I mean, I did mention about the food produce market. There is a huge market there, where through the credit guarantee facility, we can then be able to leverage the granting of indemnity to to these clients that would have get line of credit. They get credit because I think the most important thing is the access to credit. It's not necessarily fiscal money, but it will guarantee that, you know, we want to expand outside even the food production market, also go to other corporates, give small businesses opportunities, we'll be able to guarantee that. And we believe that in terms of a broader mandate, will be able to help us to scale up our activities. I must mention that some of these projects that we engage with are beginning to get also funding from the jobs fund for some of the activities. But what we said, we intense what SIPA money is there, what SIPA money is in the system. And I can look, for example, the biggest one, which is Small Enterprise Foundation, which is based in Tanning Urban. We have not given them money for the past 18 months or so. But because they have received our money from the beginning, they lend our money circulates from time to time, and that's for doing from a development impact. As they lend to new clients, it helps us to be able to see the impact of our initial investment in terms of the activities. But I know the issue of pricing has been a key issue. I think that's one area that needs to be addressed. And the balance of probability in terms of the developmental impact, they really give us the scale. We don't have the detailed activities for the purpose of this presentation today. The honorable cause, I think I did mention about the, I think it's like 23, the loss rating, it was on the lowest rating, which I did mention, the 55%, we believe is very, very low on the area of efficiency. And maybe the question will be, what are we doing about it? I mean, this is one area that is uppermost in my activities in terms of complaints. I mean, our office manages a number of complaints, and these complaints relate to turnaround time, customer service, etc. We are looking at improving this area, hence the customer relationship management that we said we have implemented. We believe that it will be able to help us. We develop a dashboard in terms of what complaints that we receive, what are the nature of complaints, how they will be addressed into that. And most importantly now, what we are building in each and every application, we then address the question relating to why do we, I think Albert did raise the question of what are we doing to the clients that we have rejected, the feedback, the clients that are not receiving funding from us. We are building what we call the lessons learned portal. In this particular client, this is what happened. After every management committee that approved transaction of 5 million, after each meeting where the client has been approved, etc., I instructed the team that they must be able to develop lessons learned in each and every meeting on a particular application. Because if we don't build that, it doesn't. We need to be able to introspect and look going back in terms of these are the lessons learned, how can we be able to improve? And again, maybe the issue that has been raised relating to how can we be able to support clients. What are the reasons for rejection on the client? What are the things that we will learn in the process? I will believe that as we move forward, we'll be able to go a long way in improving our offering. This includes the feedback. I mean, the feedback, the delays in terms of giving the feedback to clients, which is one area we need to improve. We need to improve significantly. And just to give a call to clients, we are incorporating this customer service now to move forward as part of their performance management. How do we impact the clients? And at corporate level, customer survey is constitutes a significant portion of our balance scorecard. We'll see when we present next week the corporate plan, the ACPs, where we build under the balance scorecard one area relating to customer satisfaction. So that at least we are forced to make sure that we address all these issues relating to shortcomings in terms of how we engage with our customers. And then the issue around profiling, we believe that it cannot be one size fits all. We need to be able to profile our clients deeper in terms of what business they are in. And then we've already said to the team that if you go to a particular province, if you go, for example, maybe the province of Fruitsville, it's agriculture, largely in agriculture. What are the low-hanging fruit in this world? What are the type of clients? What are the profile of the clients? How are they doing? What is the market? Those are some of the things that we need to be built as part of, and also be part of our post investment monitoring. I think that was a question relating to the slide number 41 by Honorable Cotter on that one.
There was, I think Honorable Pepper asked a question relating, I think, post office, the challenges. I think that was the reason why really we didn't do, we didn't push that much. I will be taking that upon myself to really start to build a relationship at a high level and see how we can be able to collaborate. I mean, we say we'll look at various means for us to really scale up our activities. And I also take advice to collaborate with the chief in rural areas. I must declare that I am come from a rural family in Venda. So when I'm there from time to time, I even engage with the paramount chief and others. Met him last week, was here. I met him briefly last week, he was here, for example, to invited by the president in parliament. But I do believe that this is one area from where one can be able to really build a lot of attraction deep into rural areas, looking at what are the business opportunities in the rural area. Also, the question came on, I think we'll take note of that and see how we can be able to look at that. I think the question of the number, I think Honorable Chair in absentia, yes, he did raise a number of issues that we need to look at going forward, the approval and disapproval of application. How best can we be able to address? And maybe what one would say, the lessons learned portal, I think we address that. How can we not reject, but we can refer back if something is not well? How can we then best collaborate with the leader? If we believe that maybe the business plan is not strong enough, how can we be able to make it watertight? What is required? So the thing maybe is the issue of market access. The client pays the growth application, and we believe that there is no sustainable market. How can then be addressed to our sister agency, FIDA, etc. I think this is one area that, as we collaborate with our executive authority department, and FIDA will definitely look at that input to improve our activities. But there are still going to be some clients that will, in the nature of business, will not be may not be funded based on the inability for them to demonstrate the payment of the loan. The tender document understanding of the corporate and SME is, as I said, it didn't go into detail. I did respond to this one, as I remember. The FIFA team that addressed the application, we are continually really building the team. I mentioned one guy that we had there. He was a regulator for corporate SMEs, but we are continuing to build the skills internally. In this area, I say to the team, if it means that we can just get other skills by way of fixed-term contracts for people who have respect in this area, we will look at it, and we also collaborate with the department. I think there was a question relating to the assessing the adjudication process. I think that also will go a long way onto that. I think Honourable Chairperson, I will not in my level. I will not be able to. I think it was a question that I asked to ask of a CIDA, CIFA major. I think that is beyond me. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just one brief follow-up. I wanted to just ask for clarity. Did you say that CIFA was due to receive 900 million rand in the next 5 years? Was that the figure? And if so, where is it coming from?
Yes, yeah. When CIFA was started, thank you, sir. When CIFA was started in 2012, the RDC has committed that it will provide CIFA 921 million rand. It's signed in an agreement that CIFA is giving us 921 million will unpack it when we come next week. However, CIFA, as the CIFA institution, SAMAF and HULA, had cash in bank. Remember it's a measure of a going concern. Reflows on investment that they have made in the past. We have not as to date checked into the IDC money. We have never checked that 921 million has not been utilized at any time. But in other words, while we are all on subsidiary of the IDC, we have not utilized the IDC money. But because of the process of the made and us being a all on subsidiary of IDC, the amount is going to be a shareholder's loan that is IDC has committed. We have been receiving the funding by way of MTF allocation, We have been receiving the funding by way of ESP or ANPEC, the economic support program that we receive. You will unpack that more. So the money comes from them. That is the commitment from the IDC. So what we've done, we'll see next week, we then spread that into consideration the constraints in the fiscal. We then spread that in our projection. In our projection in terms of our funding activities going forward, which you will see that I think I did highlight when we come here for the strategy session, that our funding going forward will be 200 million rand less over the next 2 years, because the ECSP has reached its period of ends, and now we need to be able to do our projection within the constraint of the available resources, which include the 921 million from IDC.
Thank you.
Omar
Alzi?
Chairperson, I was not answered by the department. Your question, my question, about when are they going to include the link cooperatives to the department, and what is the problem of delaying? Maybe the DDG can assist us.
Monocula? DDG?
Thank you, Chair. The request was made to DPSA, and DPSA wrote to the president. We have not received a response from the president.
So you are still awaiting the response. You will keep us updated as you get the response.
Yes, because when we followed up with the DPSA, we thought we must just wait. The president is considering the request since last year.
Thank the department for the inputs they have made, and let's ask them to work on the areas that they promised to work on, so that when we interact again, we get some responses that are still outstanding. On that note, let's adjourn the meeting, and thank you very much for attending. Thank you.